Great taste for your great times.
See you, dude!
Randy's going to have the final word on 2005 in just a few minutes. And in our final hour today, we'll hear Al Franken's interview with former President Jimmy Carter. It's the 2005 Year in Review. I'm Mark Riley, and this is Air America Radio.
Hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
AM 760.
Hi, this is Air America's Al Franken.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes.
This is Mike Malloy.
We want to say thanks to everybody who makes this community possible. The advertisers who are committed to getting their message to a thinking, reality-based audience. The staff that keeps the shows on the air every day. And especially thanks to you for listening to and supporting
KKCN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Peter King.
A day for many to look back. It's the first anniversary of the South Asia tsunami. Hundreds of thousands of dead are being remembered at memorials around the world. That prayer in Hebrew came from an interfaith service in Thailand. American Todd Everts survived and went back to Phuket, Thailand, for an observance there.
You constantly find yourself turning around and looking at the horizon over and over again because you're just afraid of what could occur in the future.
Reporter Thomas Long is in southern Thailand.
Most of them are very grief-stricken. A lot of them, you know, still coming to grips with the whole idea that the sea came 2-3 kilometers inland and wiped out their loved ones. And many of them really were never even found. They were just taken out to sea.
And in Indonesia, CBS News correspondent Barry Peterson says a year later, many survivors are barely hanging on.
There are a lot of people still living the way they were pretty much in the days after the tsunami. Some 70,000 are still living in tents. They're still waiting for the rebuilding to reach them.
Sun's up in the eastern half of the U.S., and so are the shoppers looking for the first of the post-holiday bargains.
When you can get some really good deals for holiday wrapping paper and any like Christmas ornaments, things like that.
That woman's in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Millions of others are exchanging unwanted gifts. CBS News technology expert Larry Magid says if you bought it online, you could save money by not sending it back.
If the item came from the online division of a retail chain like Macy's, Target, or Walmart, you may be able to save return shipping charges by taking it back to a store. You can usually find this out by checking the website for the return policy. Almost all e-tailers list their return policies on the front page or customer service page of their website. In most cases, you'll have to pay the return shipping unless the item is defective.
Christmas is over, but this is the first day of Hanukkah, the Jewish Festival of Lights, began at sundown last night. It's also the first day of Kwanzaa, the African-American celebration, which began 9 years ago. One researcher estimates that some 13 million people now observe that holiday. Insurgents in Iraq have killed at least 10 people in attacks around the country. Gunmen opened fire on 5 police officers at a checkpoint north of Baghdad. 3 other police officers died in a suicide car bombing. 2 American soldiers were killed Christmas Day, while other soldiers stayed on the job. Others got to come home for the holiday. Corporal Justin Spurgeon overwhelmed when he got to Dallas-Fort Worth.
Oh, it's awesome. It's a lot of people. I can barely get through the lines in there.
The last Monday Night Football game tonight on ABC after 36 seasons. The Hollywood Reporter's Paul Goff says the series changed the way Americans watch TV sports.
Remember, in 1970, most every sport, including the Olympics, including football, including baseball, most of the World Series, took place during the day.
This is CBS News.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone right now and call Mega Health, 866-500-MEGA. You don't even have to leave your home or office. Call us now and a friendly Mega Health representative will come to you and explain your health insurance options. So again, if you're self-employed, run a small business, or if you're on a COBRA plan and it's about to expire and you need dependable, reliable health insurance, call Mega Health now for a free quote. 866-500-MEGA, 866-500-MEGA, 866-500-MEGA. These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states, so call now and see if you qualify. 866-500-MEGA, 866-500-MEGA, 866-500-MEGA.
When I do it, everything goes dark, and I feel like a different person.
Kenzie Olsen is under the influence of her community theater volunteer, helping out at an after-school theater program. She helps Kenzie stay off drugs. Be a coach, a mentor, a volunteer. No matter what it is, you have something to offer. Log on to helpyourcommunity.org or call 877-KIDS-313 and be an influence on the kids in your community. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face. If you experience this, call 911 immediately. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
In 1805, Lewis and Clark described in their journals a country teeming with wildlife.
Bison as far as the eye can see.
Rivers churning with fish.
They wrote of scenes of endless beauty and of meeting more than 100 nations of American Indian whose lives were one with our environment. Now, imagine what Lewis and Clark and the American Indians they met would say if they walked the trail today. Would they be pleased?
There are herds of homes where the buffalo once roamed.
Or would they feel differently?
Something must be done to save what's left of this great place.
As we commemorate the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, we encourage you to consider what's been lost and what we can do to preserve what's left of the trail that still winds through us all. Walk with Lewis and Clark and see what you discover at www.lewisandclark200.org.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
Where are you going for New Year's?
Check out MaxNights.com. You'll get the complete 411 on all the party listings to bring in 2006. MaxNights.com. Sweet 1930 at the sports column. 2006 seconds of free drinks. From 8 till 8:33. Party favors galore. Tons of great prizes. $100 travel voucher. Abs and Nuggets tickets. And the classic balloon drop and champagne.
These are interesting times in which to live inside the United States. Really fascinating. We've become everything we despise. We have limited freedom. We have people listening to our private phone calls. We have people reading our private email. 80,000 people on the terror watch list now. 80,000! Now, anybody can be eavesdropped upon, and you'll never know.
Randy Rhoads.
I just think that's sick.
AM 760. Progressive Talk. The best of Jay Marvin on AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good Monday. Hey, hope y'all had a wonderful holiday weekend. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and Happy Kwanzaa. And today is a best of show from our last month of programming. We'll hear from all kinds of great guests on various topics. This hour, we'll be talking about the Iraq War. Our first guest is Perry Jeffries from Operation Truth, an organization of veterans who speak out against the war. Jeffries served as a first sergeant with the Army's 4th Infantry Division during Operation Iraqi Freedom, and here's that conversation. All right, let's talk to Perry Jeffries. He's a first sergeant, was a first sergeant with the Army's 4th Infantry Division in Iraq during Operation Iraqi Freedom. After deploying to Iraq and traveling with the cavalry through the Sunni Triangle, his unit moved to the Iran-Iraq border and set up Camp Caldwell, a future home of the new Iraq Army. And Jeffries now speaks for Operation Truth. And Perry, I noticed that Paul Rykoff, who I've had on the radio before, is a great guy. He said that the president's plan falls short. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, it's not really a plan. I think it's just a rehash of all his old speeches. And even if you dig into that 35-page document, it says almost nothing specific. In fact, I was just taking a look at it, and where it says the detailed security plan, that's followed by only 1,500 words, and that's kind of a little sparse to make a detailed plan for the whole country, I think.
Do you think this war in Iraq, I'm trying to look for a good way to phrase this, do you think that the war against the insurgents, do you think this thing is winnable?
You know, I don't know. I don't think we're making much progress, and I don't think it's winnable at the way we're doing it now. One thing I like to say is it's like the soldiers are just idling in the kill zone. There's not enough soldiers there to do the clear, hold, and build mission they're talking about, and we seem to have sold most of that off to these civilian contractors anyways. So the progress the soldiers can make, you know, is shortcut by the fact they don't have enough troops to consolidate their gains. But we still have so many of them there that they continue, you know, to keep the population on edge. So they talk about insurgencies running 9 or 10 years. I think that General Casey and Abizay told Mirza yesterday that it'd take 25 years to train the new Iraqi army. So it's, I don't even know that it's so much whether it's winnable or not, but are we really willing and do we want to commit the resources it would take to win that in the fashion they're talking about?
You know, the idea would be, if you're on the ground, the idea would be that you would get control of an area, you would stabilize it, you would build there to get the Iraqi populace on your side by making improvements, and then you'd move on to the next area. But we're not doing that. It seems like we're chasing all over the country.
Yeah, it's like stepping on a water balloon because we just don't have enough soldiers. And I know they continue to say, well, the generals aren't asking for more soldiers. And I don't know if the generals are or not. For sure, the colonels, you know, and the captains and lieutenants are. And I think that it's an apples and oranges thing. Maybe we don't need more units over there, but the units that are there need all their soldiers. I put a bunch of my friends on an airplane this weekend, and nearly every platoon was short 3 or 4 guys. So that just means they don't have enough people to do their guard duty. They don't have enough people to you know, rest up after a mission. They don't have enough people to leave behind at an OP. They barely have enough to get through what they have to do every single day, 7 days a week, for the whole time they're there. So, you know, in that respect, I think our numbers are short. But then if we're going to stay in a town or a populated area next to where there's these hostile people, we keep getting mortared. Every big installation there, we get mortared. So where are the tanks and the helicopters and enough observation posts to prevent that from happening? If we're going to stay in those areas, we need more people or get out of those areas.
10 minutes past the hour, we're talking to Perry Jeffers, who was a first sergeant with the Army's 4th Infantry Division in Iraq during Operation Freedom and is a member of Operation Truth, and you can go to OperationTruth.org to see their website. How long can the military, because Barry McCaffrey and others have raised this question, how long can the military continue to keep going as they are with these rotations and some people having been there, you know, a third time? And I read a story where a 52-year-old guy who was in the, I guess he was in the National Guard, I mean, he got called up to go. How long can we continue to keep the military going at this pace?
You know, I honestly don't know. You hear these stories about the armies breaking, and I don't think the army will ever be all broken or the service will always be all broken as long as there's a single person that can walk in it. They'll keep trying. But you could see the people leave here when the units come back from rotation and the stop-loss lifts. They bail hard. And, you know, they didn't even increase the limit this year. They're supposed to have added 20,000 soldiers, and they were short last year, and they didn't even increase the goal this year to try to get those 20,000. So, you know, down the line, I'm sure at some point they could physically run out of bodies, but I don't really see that happening. So they'll keep going. The Army will keep going. And I don't know that it will ever be enough of an issue that it would, you know, that somebody would have to flip a coin and say, well, either we fight or we don't fight because of the amount of people we have. But it's not doing it any good.
Yeah, but how do you keep going when recruiting is down and these same people have to keep going over and over and time after time? And it seems to me after a while you get battle fatigue and you would get tired.
Oh, they're tired and they're wary and they're afraid of being scapegoated. And, you know, the ones that feel they have to make this their career or they've got family commitments, they're going to stay in regardless and keep doing their best. And the other ones are being held in by stop loss. Some are re-enlisting. You know, they all know they volunteered. The soldiers will keep going, and the leadership will keep trying to do the best they can for them. We're getting a less able force and more of them. We've had over a division worth of them wounded. And so there will be an issue, but I don't think it's going to – I think it'll be less of an issue than the elections.
When you say they don't want to be scapegoated, explain that.
Well, they're really worried, especially some of the sergeants and specialists, the staff sergeants I talked to this weekend. They're really worried about a lot of the rules that are put on them as to defending themselves. You know, one of the biggest concerns of soldiers going over there, despite all the stuff we talk about, but is a clear set of rules of engagement. Tell me what rules I can follow. And what they're afraid of is that they're going to be expected to defend themselves, but then if they get caught being too aggressive, and I'm not talking about abuse, I'm just talking about, you know, taking care of each other, then they're afraid they're going to end up in front of one of these courts, not their leaders, but the low-level soldiers. And they're not real sure where that cuts, and they've been given so many rules, there's no longer any simple guidelines. You know, it's not like a pocket card
right.
You carry with you. It's like a manual you're supposed to keep in your head all the time.
What about this idea of cross-training? For instance, taking, you know, guys who are typists, or maybe they're cooks, or maybe they're just regular infantry people, and training them for some other job like being policemen. You think that's effective?
No, I don't think it's the best thing, because people join the Army, by and large, to do a certain job, and that's what they want to do. You know, they tried to convert a bunch of tankers to scouts a few years ago. We're talking thousands of people, and at the end of the first year, a single person had come. And the general asked the sergeant major, he says, why don't they want to come and be scouts? He said they didn't join the Army to be scouts. They joined to drive the tank. The same thing. You know, my cooks, my old cooks, went off to Iraq this weekend, and they know good and well they're not going to be cooking. Like I said, they're not happy about it, but they're not given a choice because they're all stop loss, so they've got no chance. But that's the kind of soldier that will get out when he's able to, you know, when the stop loss lifts. And that's why, you know, the backdoor draft, the stop loss, is such an issue for Operation Truth.
What about if I took you and I put you in the Oval Office and you had time with George W. Bush, what would you say to him?
You know, what are you thinking of? I wondered that. We went to Washington once, and I said, what if we meet one of these people that can actually change it? And you know, to keep from being thrown in jail, I just want to look him in the eye and say, what are you thinking of? And because I don't think he's seen the whole picture, and I think he doesn't want to hear the whole picture. The problem is these are not puzzle pieces. They're soldiers, and they're Iraqi civilians, and you know, they're our reputation around as a nation around the world. So it's a bad thing. I think a real example of how they're thinking up there on the Hill is something not that George said, but that Laura said yesterday, and she said in an interview that it was difficult to watch families grieve that have lost troops. And the thing I'd say to that is, families don't lose troops. They lose sons and daughters and fathers and mothers. They don't lose troops, but I think that some of these people on the Hill see troops as some sort of a robot or a device or a non-person, and they don't get the idea that they're just regular people off the street.
Yeah, what do you make of the fact that George W. Bush never goes to any funerals?
Well, it's just shameful, but, you know, how can he look somebody in the eye? I mean, if he's afraid of Miss Sheehan out there in Crawford, I think that's just what to be expected. And that's fine. We don't need him to come to funerals. Our soldiers don't need him to come to funerals. It'd be nice if he would make sure that the benefits promised the families of the survivors were paid. It'd be nice if he'd make sure the benefits for the VA are there for the wounded soldiers. Actions speak louder than words. We don't need him to do any more photo ops. We're seeing the photo ops. It's killing soldiers. You could see the sailors at Annapolis yawning yesterday behind him. Because it's very, you know, it's a real disruption when he comes to some place.
All right, Perry, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for being on the program, and thank you for your service to this country.
Yes, sir. Well, thanks for helping get the word out.
Oh, you're welcome here anytime. All right, there's Perry Jeffries. He was a first sergeant with the Army's 4th Infantry Division in Iraq during Operation Iraqi Freedom. After deploying to Iraq and traveling with the cavalry through the Sunni Triangle, his unit moved to the Iran-Iraq border, where they set up Camp Caldwell, future home of the new Iraq Army, and he now speaks out for Operation Truth. Coming up next, we have John Podesta. He's the president and CEO.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
Holiday shopping without leaving your computer. It's the all-new MileHighMarket.com with thousands of products. Imagine an arcade-quality electronic air hockey table for the game room, delivered in time for the holidays. Or an elegant wood poker chip humidor for that Texas Hold'em fan on your list. Entertain family and friends this holiday season with a foosball table or electronic dartboard from MileHighMarket.com. And remember, there's always free shipping at MileHighMarket.com.
Thinking about what to serve at your business lunch or holiday affair? You can put out a tray of cold cuts and cube cheese and no one will think any less of you. Or you can have your guests ask where all the delicious food came from. Invite Tin Star to your next party and add some sizzle, smoke, and salsa. Choose homemade chips, roasted salsa, grilled vegetable quesadilla, or a gourmet soft taco platter. Find out more about the Tin Star party platters and box lunches at tinstar.us or click on the banner in the player now. Tin Star. Sizzle, smoke, salsa.
Freedom Harley-Davidson is your touring bike headquarters. Right now, purchase any 2006 Electra Glide Classic and receive a $500 gift card toward the purchase of any genuine Harley-Davidson installed parts and accessories. Plus, you'll get a 20% discount on all parts, accessories, and motor clothes for 90 days after your purchase. The best in price and service only from Denver's premier Harley-Davidson dealer. Freedom Harley-Davidson at 8020 West Colfax, just west of Wadsworth. Stop dreaming and start enjoying the ride. More info and offer restrictions at freedomh-d.com.
My email isn't working again.
The network is down again?
Hey, who unplugged the server?
Maybe your office is not the best location for critical IT infrastructure. Today's business relies on technology. At Riptide Hosting, their job is to keep your network up and running. Riptide provides dedicated servers and server co-location in a Class A data center for much less than you might think. Riptide Hosting is located in the DTC. Click on the banner in your player to compare pricing and get more info at riptidehosting.com.
Search for the hottest bars, clubs, lounges, DJs, and concerts in Denver at maxnights.com.
Check out this week's spotlight.
Sports fans know the Sports Column and Lodo on Blake Street. 10 years of great food, drink specials, excellent service, rooftop patio, and 9 big screens. Fox Sports Net voted Sports Column the best sports bar in Denver. Sports Illustrated ranked them one of the top 20 sports bars in America. Check out $1 You Call It's from 9 to close on Thursday nights. Sports Column on Blake Street in Lodo.
Where do you want to go tonight?
Maxnights.com.
Hey, do you consider yourself a great poker player? Want to test your skills against the likes of Rob Blake, Dan Hino, John Michael Lyles, and Brad May? Then join Amber Holmes for the second annual Full House Celebrity Poker Tournament on Saturday, January 7th at 6 p.m. Amber Holmes specializes in affordable townhomes, paired homes, and single-family homes, and they're proud to help local Denver charities through this annual Celebrity Poker Tournament. For more information or to register as a player, log on to amberholmes.com. Amber Holmes, a higher standard.
If you love your coffee and want to take it with you when you travel, you need to learn about Road Warrior brand Laptop Coffee. Laptop Coffee is travel-friendly coffee, sealed in personal tins. Plus, it's superior gourmet compared to the coffee most hotels leave for you in the room. Each tin contains 2 4-cup filter packs for 2 personal pots of rich, full-bodied, 100% Arabica coffee. You'll never have to endure lousy in-room hotel coffee again. For a free sample, click the ad on your screen or log on to laptopcoffee.com and order the free sample pack.
To President Clinton from October 1998 until January 2001, where he was responsible for directing, managing, and overseeing all policy development and daily operations and congressional relations and staff activities of the White House. A disclosure, I am a contributing person to Center for American Progress. All right, Mr. Podesta, nice to have you on the show.
It's good to be with you, Jay, and thanks for the contribution. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I love you guys, and I'm on your email list, and man, oh, man, I'm so glad you're there. Let me ask you, you worked in the White House. You were close to Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
If you were sitting in the White House today staring at President Bush's poll numbers and you were advising him, what would you tell him?
Well, I think the first thing I would tell him is that he's got to get some new people over there. I think that the people that surround him now, his credibility are in complete shreds, and he needs some new staff. But beyond that, I think he's got to change gears. You know, he just keeps doing the same. He keeps running the same play over and over again. I think you saw that with the speech on Iraq this week. He kind of repackaged the talking points into something that said plan, 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 but really never began to level with the American people about what the real challenges facing our country and the Iraqi people are today. So I think that he keeps running a play that worked for him in, I guess, in 2002 and 2004, but I think it's at this point, I think the American public is quite skeptical of it, don't really trust him to deliver up a fair and honest assessment of what's really going on, and until he restores that, he's not going to make much headway.
All right, this is going to be a stupid question, but I got to ask it anyway. Why do you think it is that he can't, A, make these changes, and B, switch gears, and probably C, just come out and be candid with the American people as to where the hell we are in Iraq?
I think it's maybe one part a character trait which people found attractive when they thought it was, you know, steadfastness. It's really just turned into stubbornness. And one part, sometimes you can in the Oval Office you can get surrounded by people who just tell you what you want to hear, really don't challenge what's going on out there, just tell you that you're whatever it is you're doing is right. And if you don't have strong voices walking in and saying, you know, Mr. President, we're in a deep hole here, and we got to change what we're doing. In the interest not just of our political positioning, but in the interest of the country, sometimes you just keep digging the hole deeper.
Now, you know, why can't they look at history? I mean, when Ronald Reagan got in trouble with the Iran-Contra situation, he went on television and he said, you know, and I'm paraphrasing him here, my heart tells me one thing, but my head, you know, tells me something else. Bill Clinton, who you worked for, when he got in trouble, he went on in a very intimate, same thing as Ronald Reagan, a very intimate way, said, okay, you know what, I messed up. And then you go look at the polls, and both of their poll numbers jumped overnight.
Right. Well, I think, you know, that's what the American public expects, which is that, you know, they know everybody's going to make mistakes in that office. They don't expect you to bat 1,000. But they expect you to own up to your mistakes and come clean about them. And if you need to make changes, make those changes. You know, back to the personnel side, you know, Ronald Reagan did something else, which is that he got rid of his chief of staff. He got rid of his national security advisor. He got rid of his communications director. He got rid of the people who were involved in Iran-Contra. He brought in a new team led by former Senator Howard Baker. And they righted themselves. And he went on in that final year of his presidency to have some important achievements, particularly on with respect to U.S.-Soviet relations in the final year with agreements he got with then President Gorbachev. And I think that when I look back at the last year or two of the Clinton administration, we were able to get a lot done. But I think it was because the president was able to to concentrate on what he was doing right for the country, admit what the mistake that he had made, and he moved on.
Yeah, well, he was a marvelous man when it came to that. All right, let me put you on hold in the phone zone, and we'll come back with you. We got John Podesta on the line here. Jay Marvin in for Jerry Springer. Jerry is on vacation, and he'll be back on Monday. And on the line with us, John Podesta from American Progress, for the Center for American Progress. And, Mr. Podesta, we only got a couple of more minutes, so I want to ask you a question that has frustrated me, and maybe I think other people may be frustrated by it, too, and if anybody can answer it, I think you can. Why can't the Democrats speak with one voice on Iraq?
Well, you know, I think that it's, at this point, sort of at least coming together in the Senate. You saw most of the Democrats, I think Joe Lieberman's still a kind of outlier, but 40 Democrats stand up and force an amendment on the Senate floor to demand that 2006 be a year of transition, and that we have a real plan to, of how we're going to begin a drawdown of our presence there in Iraq, and that led to actually a bipartisan amendment in which 79 senators voted for it. So I think they're finding their voice, and I think that Jack Murtha's statements, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and now they're coming back to town next week, and I think that the House Democratic Caucus will try to get together. We'll see more unity on this topic, but I think that the truth is that there has been a division, because I think that Democrats do realize that now that we've made the mess that we've made in Iraq, that there's a bunch of difficult choices. There's no easy decision about what to do about it. I think if you pull out precipitously, you kind of leave a power vacuum that could create another Afghanistan under the Taliban. I think they're concerned about that, so they're struggling to find one consistent solution. And I think you'll see most people gravitate towards the position that you saw taken in the Senate, or the one that Joe Lieberman put out. I'm sorry, that Joe Biden put out about a week or so now, that calls for a phased withdrawal, reduction of troops, more involvement in a regional diplomacy there. And so I think that people are coming together, but it's, you know, I share the sentiment that it's been a while in coming.
All right. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day. And as I said, the Center for American Progress is vital. And I really, really appreciate you being here. People should go to your website, AmericanProgress.org, and sign up for your daily talking points and mailers, because they're absolutely out of sight. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jake.
Okay. There's John Podesta. That's John Podesta, CEO and President of the Center for American Progress. Great organization. Up next, we're going to talk to my buddy Ed.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
Search for the hottest bars, clubs, lounges, DJs, and concerts in Denver at maxnights.com.
Check out this week's spotlight.
Sports fans know the Sports Column in Lodo on Blake Street. 10 years of great food, drink specials, excellent service, rooftop patio, and 9 big screens. Fox Sports Net voted Sports Column the best sports bar in Denver. Sports Illustrated ranked them one of the top 20 sports bars in America. Check out $1 U College from 9 to close on Thursday nights. Sports Column on Blake Street in Lodo.
Where do you want to go tonight?
Maxnights.com.
Hey, do you consider yourself a great poker player? Want to test your skills against the likes of Rob Blake, Dan Hino, John Michael Lyles, and Brad May? Then join Amber Holmes for the second annual Full House Celebrity Poker Tournament on Saturday, January 7th at 6 p.m. Amber Holmes specializes in affordable townhomes, paired homes, and single-family homes, and they're proud to help local Denver charities through this annual Celebrity Poker Tournament. For more information or to register as a player, log on to amberholmes.com. Amber Holmes, a higher standard.
If you love your coffee and want to take it with you when you travel, you need to learn about Road Warrior brand Laptop Coffee. Laptop Coffee is travel-friendly coffee, sealed in personal tins. Plus, it's superior gourmet compared to the coffee most hotels leave for you in the room. Each tin contains 2 4-cup filter packs for 2 personal pots of rich, full-bodied, 100% Arabica coffee. You'll never have to endure lousy in-room hotel coffee again. For a free sample, click the ad on your screen or log on to LaptopCoffee.com and order the free sample pack.
Holiday shopping without leaving your computer. It's the all-new MileHighMarket.com with thousands of products. Imagine an arcade-quality electronic air hockey table for the game room, delivered in time for the holidays. Or an elegant wood poker chip humidor for that Texas Hold'em fan on your list. Entertain family and friends this holiday season with a foosball table or electronic dartboard from MileHighMarket.com. And remember, there's always free shipping at MileHighMarket.com.
Everyone has a dream home, an ideal place where they can live life by their rules, especially when it comes to their TV.
In my dream home, my TV show would start when I was ready.
In my dream home, my movies would come to life.
Comcast has an offer that will make your dreams a reality. Call today and get digital cable, including on-demand and stars, just $49.99 per month for 3 months.
In my dream home, Dora the Explorer will come over anytime I want it.
On-demand is a library of thousands of free movies and shows you can start anytime, only from Comcast, not satellite. Comcast also offers you up to 14 high-definition channels, including local channels you can't get from satellite.
Improve your home.
Improve your life.
And dream big.
With Comcast.
Call 1-800-COMCAST for digital cable with on-demand and stars. Just $49.99 per month for 3 months. That's 1-800-COMCAST. Limited time offer, 3 months at $49.99 per month. Applies to digital silver with stars. After promotional period, regular rates apply. Restricted supply not available in all areas.
My email isn't working again.
The network is down again?
Hey, who unplugged the server?
Maybe your office is not the best location for critical IT infrastructure. Today's business relies on technology. At Riptide Hosting, their job is to keep your network up and running. Riptide provides dedicated servers and server co-location in a Class A data center for much less than you might think. Riptide Hosting is located in the DTC. Click on the banner in your player to compare pricing and get more info at RiptideHosting.com.
On to get his particular spin on the things, his views on things that are going on. I shouldn't use the word spin, but his view on things that are going on. Let's welcome to the program once again this morning, and he's welcome here anytime. Big Ed Schultz. Ed, hi.
That would be huge, friend.
Yeah, you are. You're a good friend of the show's. Okay, and a good friend of me too. All right, let's get in on this because this was all over the talking head shows last night, and this is this whole thing about the Pentagon. In the Defense Department, and they give this Lincoln Group firm a $100 million contract to plant stories in the Iraqi news media and in Iraqi newspapers. What do you make of this?
I smell Karl Rove. I smell Karen Hughes. This is the way they do business. This is a page out of the Republican playbook, and I think that it's these two people, when it comes to communicating the White House and the American message through their eyes, they have got unyielding power, and I think that they can circumvent and get around a lot of people to get something like this done. They're throwing millions of dollars around like they're $5 bills in Washington, and I really think, Jay, that this is going to run the risk of hurting our credibility with the Iraqi people.
Yeah.
It's the Iraqi people. Why would we have to go to this extent to do this? And you know, I think it underscores just how deep we are in Iraq and how out of control this thing is that we have to stoop to this level to, you know, play Russian roulette with our credibility with the Iraqi people to pull a stunt like this.
You know, the State Department, according to the New York Times this morning, the State Department is paying contractors millions of dollars to promote professional and independent media, you know, in the military campaign. To defy the basic tenets, or, you know, the military campaign defies the basic tenets of Western journalism. Here's my question. Okay, nobody yesterday seemed to know what was going on with this. Anybody who was asked, you know, in the State Department, anybody who was asked in the Defense Department, anybody who was asked at the Pentagon, nobody seemed to know. But we're talking about $100 million here. Somebody had to sign on to this. Plus, the guy that runs this Lincoln Group has political connections in Washington, D.C.,
You bet they do, and there is a paper trail, and eventually they'll get to it. What they're hoping is that the media won't pick up on this and make it a story and heighten the curiosity of the American people. That's really where this is. They low-key it, let a few stories go by, don't respond to them, and then it snowballs because of all the curiosity of the people, and now it's pretty much going to come to light exactly for what it is. Here's one of the things that I think the Bush administration has got an opportunity here to distance themselves from this by, again, stepping up and telling the truth about how this all came about. There's defense contracts for every facet of what's going on, and some of them deal directly with economic development. I can definitely, and I think the American people can too, go along with an economic development package of setting up a newspaper for the Iraqi people. But when it comes to content, and when it comes to buying an audience, and when it comes to trying to develop loyalty with fake news, it's not going to work. It's going to be seen for exactly what it is, advertising and fraudulent information. And we run the risk now as a country, for all the things that we've done for Iraq as far as trying to get that country squared away so we can get out of there after the mistakes that we have made, we run the risk of not being truthful with the Iraqi people. I think Bush has lost the country. I'm going to talk about this today on the program. I think the president, he'll never come back in the polls. That's my prediction. I think he's lost the country. Sure, there's going to be this whacked-out base that he's going to have that will always be there, the 25%ers, and maybe a few more hanger-oners who are hoping. But I think Bush has lost the country. I really do.
No way to turn this around, in your opinion.
I don't think there's any way he can turn it around. I really don't. And I think that there's going to be a massive pushback, not a slight, but a massive pushback in the midterms. I think you're going to see people come out in droves in the midterms. I think you're going to see the full engagement of the Democratic Party. I talked to John Kerry yesterday off the air before he was a surprise caller to the program. He was going to the airport, was listening to the show, and watched. He says, Ed, you know, he gives us a call in the studio. I start talking to him during a commercial break. I said, you want to go on for a few minutes? He said, I'd love to. He told me off the air that he's going to be very, very involved in a lot of these midterm elections to helping people out. And I think you're going to see that across the board. I mean, it's going to be a full-court press. So I think that progressives should be very encouraged that they are going to be organized. They're going to go after it. There is definitely a political opening, and there's a lot of eyes that are being opened up of the American people say, you know what, these people are twisting the truth. Look at this, one issue after another. And so I think that their worm has turned, and I don't think the president can get the country back. And I hate to say that, but I believe that. And this is just another example of how people are going to say, you know what, you can't trust these people. He's lost the trust of the people.
6:39, 21 minutes in front of 7 o'clock. You know, he's got, what, two or three more of these speeches he's going to give, but they just... they fall short. You know. Warner said on it was either Meet the Press or it was on Stephanopoulos this week. I can't remember now. It was last week. He said that the president ought to have, you know, one of these fireside chats and, you know, talk to the talk to the American people about what's going on. So what does he do? He keeps showing up these military installations, giving these speeches in front of handpicked audiences. And if you looked at clearly at the audiences in Annapolis, some of those guys looked like they were going to go to sleep.
Yeah, that was on the front page of the Toronto newspaper. God, we put that on our webpage. It's just hilarious. Fireside chats. Good idea. Talk to the American people. The same guy that they've been trying to erase from American history, FDR, and now they're suggesting they ought to follow what he used to do.
Right.
You know, they're after the New Deal. They wanted to take FDR off the dime and put Reagan on there. They're attacking Social Security. They want to go private accounts. All the things that FDR had put together for this country, which had been successful for decades, these people are trying to tear down, and now they've come full circle and say, well, maybe you better communicate with the American people the same way FDR did and have a fireside chat. I mean, I find it pretty doggone ironic. They don't have a plan. That's why they keep saying the Democrats don't have a plan. The Republicans right now are in complete disarray. They totally are. They don't have a message. They don't have an agenda. They have credibility problems. with mainstream voters who are not connected to a party. The middle of the roaders is what this administration is losing. And, of course, Marilyn Musgrave, you know, that elevator doesn't go all the way to the top.
Oh, no kidding.
The only, I mean, she's stupid enough to bring Bush into her area.
I know it.
Campaign. That's only going to backfire on her. You mean to tell me that Marilyn Musgrave supports this president and all the cloud of secrecy that has surrounded the Oval Office? She can buy into that? I mean, the voters aren't with that.
That's shocking, isn't it? You know, I was set back when I read that he was coming here and that he was going to campaign for her. First of all, you're right. She's not the brightest tool in the box. And basically, what she's known for is raising a divisive cultural issues like, to attacking gay rights. And then she has this guy show up who is like, he sucks in the opinion polls. What kind of smart move is that?
Well, Bush can raise money. With the rabid conservative neocons, he might be able to put some money in her war chest. And that's the one advantage. But when it comes to the people, I think it's a real detriment. I think that she just put an anchor around her neck. She's the one that said that she saw Terry Schiavo smiling at her.
Yeah. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, that turned out to be true, didn't it?
That's how organized, that's how on top of things she is.
I got to ask you one more question. I hear you talk about it in the afternoons, but in case people miss this, and every time you come on here, I always ask you this, so you're going to say, I wish Jay would stop asking this, but all right, well, what's going on with Armed Forces Radio? Are you on? Are you going to be on? What is the hold up, and what is it that we could do to put a push on this?
I'm glad you asked, Jay. I appreciate it. The deal with Armed Forces is that we were told that we're going to be on. They did a reversal. We're going to be on. We just haven't been given a date. It's amazing. In fact, we called Harkin's office earlier this week, and they're going to check into it again. We have been given confirmation that our show will be on Armed Forces Radio Network, and we just have not been given a date on when it's going to start. It's amazing. They just can't get anything done. So I'm trying to chip into that $100 million budget. You know how it is. Motion. No, I'm just kidding. There's no financial advantage or disadvantage to us being on Armed Forces Network. We're not getting any money out of it. The show's not getting any money out of it. It's just basically an entertainment service, and obviously there's some good promotional advantages to being on. But I see now that there was a story floating around yesterday that Slanthead, Hannity, has been squealing over there saying, well, if they're taking Eddie, they better take me. And so there was
oh,
a
God.
Story. Yeah, oh, yeah. So now they'll have more conservatives on there, but at least they'll have one good lefty.
All right, last question here. So what can us Ed-heads do to help you out there? I mean, should we contact our local representatives? Should we write the Pentagon, the Defense Department? What should we do?
Well, I think probably dropping an email to Salazar would help. I think that probably dropping an email to Allison Barber in the Pentagon would help, just asking what's the date. You know, we've been told that the Ed Show is going to be on Armed Forces Network. Give us a date. Do you have a date? And I just can't believe that they could be this slow. I think they think that we just take our eye off the ball and then just go home and forget it. And I just can't do that. In fact, there's a possibility that, we may be going to Iraq. I must be out of my mind, but...
No, I think it's great. I think you should go over there and talk to the troops and show them and tell them what's going on and that there's another point of view in this country. They're just not hearing it.
Well, I'd like to do that, and we're working on it, and we've made some contacts in that direction, so I may have a little holiday trip. You never know. I don't know for sure, but we're working on it, so...
All right, Ed, thanks.
Hey,
thanks,
Jay,
for being
great
on
to be on. I love being on your show, and I appreciate all your support. Thanks
hey,
a lot.
Hey, you're welcome to be on here anytime. Ed Schultz, 1 to 4 in the afternoon here. More of the...
Holiday shopping without leaving your computer. It's the all-new MileHighMarket.com with thousands of products. Imagine an arcade-quality electronic air hockey table for the game room, delivered in time for the holidays. Or an elegant wood poker chip humidor for that Texas Hold'em fan on your list. Entertain family and friends this holiday season with a foosball table or electronic dartboard from MileHighMarket.com. And remember, there's always free shipping at MileHighMarket.com.
What do you want tonight?
Search for the hottest bars, clubs, lounges, DJs, and concerts in Denver at maxnights.com.
Check out this week's spotlight.
Sports fans know the Sports Column in Lodo on Blake Street. 10 years of great food, drink specials, excellent service, rooftop patio, and 9 big screens. Fox Sports Net voted Sports Column the best sports bar in Denver. Sports Illustrated ranked them one of the top 20 sports bars in America. Check out $1 You Call It's from 9 to close on Thursday nights. Sports Column on Blake Street in Lodo.
Where do you want to go tonight?
Maxnights.com.
Thinking about what to serve at your business lunch or holiday affair? You can put out a tray of cold cuts and cube cheese and no one will think any less of you. Or you can have your guests ask where all the delicious food came from. Invite Tin Star to your next party and add some sizzle, smoke, and salsa. Choose homemade chips, roasted salsa, grilled vegetable quesadilla, or a gourmet soft taco platter. Find out more about the Tin Star party platters and box lunches at tinstar.us or click on the banner in the player now. Tin Star. Sizzle, smoke, salsa.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
My email isn't working again.
The network is down again?
Hey, who unplugged the server?
Maybe your office is not the best location for critical IT infrastructure. Today's business relies on technology. At Riptide Hosting, their job is to keep your network up and running. Riptide provides dedicated servers and server co-location in a Class A data center for much less than you might think. Riptide Hosting is located in the DTC. Click on the banner in your player to compare pricing and get more info at riptidehosting.com.
Freedom Harley-Davidson is your touring bike headquarters. Right now, purchase any 2006 Electric Glide Classic and receive a $500 gift card toward the purchase of any genuine Harley-Davidson installed parts and accessories. Plus, you'll get a 20% discount on all parts, accessories, and motor clothes for 90 days after your purchase. The best in price and service only from Denver's premier Harley-Davidson dealer. Freedom Harley-Davidson at 8020 West Colfax, just west of Wadsworth. Stop dreaming and start enjoying the ride. More info and offer restrictions at freedomh-d.com.
Hey, do you consider yourself a great poker player? Want to test your skills against the likes of Rob Blake, Dan Hino, John Michael Lyles, and Brad May? Then join Amber Holmes for the second annual Full House Celebrity Poker Tournament on Saturday, January 7th at 6 p.m. Amber Holmes specializes in affordable townhomes, paired homes, and single-family homes, and they're proud to help local Denver charities through this annual Celebrity Poker Tournament. For more information or to register as a player, log on to amberholmes.com. Amber Holmes, a higher standard.
If you love your coffee and want to take it with you when you travel, you need to learn about Road Warrior brand Laptop Coffee. Laptop Coffee is travel-friendly coffee, sealed in personal tins. Plus, it's superior gourmet compared to the coffee most hotels leave for you in the room. Each tin contains 2 4-cup filter packs for 2 personal pots of rich, full-bodied, 100% Arabica coffee. You'll never have to endure lousy in-room hotel coffee again. For a free sample, click the ad on your screen or log on to laptopcoffee.com and order the free sample pack.
If you're not active or if you smoke, you're putting yourself at risk for disease. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. How would you like to meet an endangered manatee? You can by joining Save the Manatee Club's Adopt the Manatee program. You can't take them home, but you can get to know your new manatee friend through the photo, biography, and information the club sends to you. And you can read updates on your manatee in the club newsletter. More importantly, your contribution goes to programs that are working to save manatees from extinction. It's easy to help. Call 1-800-432-JOIN.
Ed Schultz. Weekday afternoons, 1 to 4.
What I'm talking to you about is not a liberal or conservative issue.
It's truth.
To Jay Martin on AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk.
We're back and happy holidays from all of us here at AM 760 Progressive Talk. Our next guest is Rand Beers, who resigned his National Security Council position with the president, President Bush, 5 days before the invasion of Iraq. He then signed on with the Kerry Edwards campaign, and here is his very interesting story. Rand, good morning and welcome to AM 760.
Thanks very much. It's good to be here.
All right, you know the question I got to ask you right off the bat. Why did you quit the Bush White House and go to work for John Kerry?
Well, in the first instance, leaving was because I'd taken a job combating terrorism that several people had said I should not take because it would be impossible given the White House. But I had worked in government all my life and thought that I couldn't just walk away from as serious an issue as that. But after I was there for about 5 months, it became clear to me that all of the resources and effort and focus had shifted away from fighting the war on terrorism and dealing with Afghanistan and toward the invasion of Iraq. And while initially I thought we might be able to accomplish that in an expeditious fashion if we worked through the UN and tried to do what the elder Bush had done, it became more and more clear to me by December that that was not going to be the case either. And so I came to the realization that I could not continue to work because the war simply was going to take away all of the focus from what was the most serious threat to the United States, which was Biden, Osama bin Laden.
Why do you think this administration turned on a dime like that and started to go after Iraq?
I think that they really were captured by the old notion that states make the difference and did not appreciate the fact that non-states like the terrorists represented the new kind of threat in the post-Soviet world. And so they struggled with the notion of how to deal with non-state actors and hit upon the fact that Saddam Hussein was sort of low-hanging fruit of all of the states that had caused problems, had some old association with old-line Palestinian terrorists, and simply went after it as some way to continue to show progress from their perspective in the war on terrorism, even though it had nothing whatsoever to do with it.
You think the intelligence was cherry-picked and shaped to fit the situation?
Absolutely. There's no question in my mind.
I mean, Dick Cheney is once again today in a speech in front of the American Enterprise Institute denying that this happened, calling it reprehensible, and that the people are saying it are liars, basically, to paraphrase him.
Well, you know, I'm not prepared to call what they did a lie, but it was definitely a misrepresentation and a distortion. Any administration tries to argue, make the best argument that it possibly can in support of a policy that it's pursuing, and we all know that that's true. But this was out of proportion and out of reality to the real situation on the ground. I read the National Intelligence Estimate, and the representations about nuclear weapons were incorrect. The representations about the associations with al-Qaeda, including the massive distortion that they were somehow associated with 9/11, was out of proportion to anything that the National Intelligence Estimate said. And so It was a gross misrepresentation to the American people, and that's very troubling.
And yet they continued. You know, I've seen Cheney in these clips where he talks about Muhammad. No, I'm sorry. Maybe it was Muhammad Atta. Yeah, Muhammad Atta meeting in Prague with the so-called intelligence officials from Iraq. Then he turns around and says that that's not what he said when he said it was pretty well confirmed. I mean, where did they come up with these wild ideas?
They have a very inventive infrastructure that provides them with arguments and factoids and other things that they use, figuring that if they say them often enough and loudly enough, that they will be believed, as was the that point about Muhammad Atta meeting in Prague. Even at the time of our election last year, a majority of American people believed that that was a true relationship. That's just horrible in terms of the way the public has been manipulated in this approach to dealing with so serious an issue.
9:40, 20 minutes away from 10 here on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. We're talking to Rand Beers, who served on the National Security Council under numerous presidents and was director of combating terrorism. You've heard John Murtha's proposal about getting out. Do you agree with that?
I think that John Murtha is a wonderful person, and I agree with the general view that we are clearly part of the problem. The issue of how quickly we get out, in his view, was distorted, quite frankly, is what the real discussion ought to be about. 6 months may be a little bit too quick, but we have to begin the process of negotiating with this new government that's going to be coming to power about what that withdrawal looks like. And 2 years at the outside, I think, is a reasonable time frame. They have to get their act together. If we don't push them to do that, then they're going to ride on our backs, and that's not good for them, and it's even worse for us.
You know, I've heard that it takes the 9 years to beat the average insurgency. Certainly this White House doesn't think we're going to stay into this for 9 years.
They will not survive the 9 years because they will be out of office in 2008. And I cannot see how they can think that even if they persist to the end of their term, that it will last much beyond 2008.
How long do you think this is going to be able to go on before finally it's going to become too painful and they'll have to cry uncle? I mean, after all, you worked in the administration. You know this guy, Bush, 43. You know Cheney, who I consider to be a very dark man and, the Darth Vader of American politics. And these guys never apologize and they never backpedal. How long do you think they can keep this up?
Well, I have a view that they will come to the conclusion that after this forthcoming election is completed and the new government is formed, that they will have reached a sufficient level of trained Iraqis that they will be able to begin, as they have talked before, the withdrawal, and that will be announced sometime between March and August of next year, and that the initial withdrawal will begin during that time frame, and it will be set up specifically to give the Republicans cover in the midterm election that the process of U.S. disengagement has begun.
You know, James Fallows wrote a long article in Atlantic Monthly about why the Iraqis have no army. Do you think at that time that the Iraqis are going to have enough battalions trained to be able to take it on themselves?
Well, I mean, how many battalions do you actually need? And what level of training can you reasonably expect? If we begin to withdraw in that time frame, they will have enough force that if they are, in fact, committed, they can begin to shoulder more and more of the load. But Fallows is right in his concern that we haven't done, and they haven't done, the kind of effective job that's truly necessary. And I think that that's in part attributable to the fact that we haven't pressed them clearly enough that they're going to have to take over this role so that the politicians can hide behind us and not make the political compromise.
KZN, Morton, Denver, Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Peter King. The bells toll to remember the hundreds of thousands who died in the South Asia tsunami 1 year ago today. CBS News correspondent Barry Peterson reports that survivors are having a tough time rebuilding.
The fishing village of Dusan Tongkol is on the mend. As the sign says, they believe they'll do it faster by doing it themselves. Here we met Samiati.
Why have you come back to this area?
The whole family is here, she told us, and this is the only place we could live and where we feel safe. It will never be exactly the same, but it will be a village that survived because its people would not give up. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Banda Aceh, Indonesia.
I'm Peter Mayer, live in Washington. The U.S. is still offering massive humanitarian aid to the region devastated by this a year ago today. Agency for International Development Chief Andrew Natsios sees lasting lessons from the disaster.
When we have natural disasters on this scale that are rapid onset, that happen very quickly, we need the military to help us.
U.S. government and private relief efforts are still very much a part of the huge tsunami reconstruction. Live in Washington, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
There's late word from Baghdad that a suicide bomber has killed at least two and injured 23 at a funeral in a Shiite neighborhood. CBS News correspondent Kelly Kobiea.
There was no let-up in that today whatsoever. Four car bombs early in the morning, followed by insurgent attacks at a town north of Baghdad. Several Iraqi security police were killed in that.
Neighbors in Fairfax County, Virginia, should have been talking about their holiday gifts. Instead, they were chatting about what police say may have been a murder-suicide.
We had a quiet cup of tea together and just reflected on how tragic this was. And for anybody related to these people down here, how tragic this is. Very tragic.
Five people, including the suspected gunman, were found dead in two homes after someone heard gunfire Christmas morning. The shopping carts are rolling in and out of stores from coast to coast as those who couldn't get enough of it before Christmas start their post-holiday bargain hunting. Many will be exchanging unwanted gifts. Vera Gibbons of Kiplinger's magazine says you could lose a lot if you try to return something without a receipt.
For example, at Target, if you don't have a receipt, the best you can hope for is credit at the lowest markdown price, and you're only able to make an exchange for an item of equal or greater value that comes from the same department.
Are you ready?
Well, Hank Jr. has been singing that song for the better part of two decades. The swan song tonight, though, for ABC's Monday Night Football, which goes to cable next year. Frank Gifford, Don Meredith, and late Howard Cosell helped turn those football games into television events during the 70s, but viewership has dropped steadily in more recent years. The games will be on ESPN next season. This is CBS News.
At CompUSA, we get that entertainment centers don't just sit in living rooms, because now you can enjoy your DVDs, DVR, TV, MP3s, and games on a laptop with a 17-inch Ultimate True Bright display. It's the Toshiba Cosmio G25 with Intel Centrino mobile technology. Get yours for just under $2,500. Only at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. Offer good through Sunday. See store for details.
If you're an adult age 65 and up, you've probably heard about the new prescription drug benefits available to you with the new Medicare Part D. You've probably also got a lot of questions. Your Save-On and Osco pharmacists have answers. With your questions resolved, you can begin to review and choose the best options for you. Enrollment is from November 15, 2005 through May 15, 2006. Before you choose a Part D program, get information you can count on from your trusted partners in health, Save-On, and Osco pharmacies.
Holiday shopping without leaving your computer. It's the all-new MileHighMarket.com with thousands of products. Imagine an arcade-quality electronic air hockey table for the game room, delivered in time for the holidays. Or an elegant wood poker chip humidor for that Texas Hold'em fan on your list. Entertain family and friends this holiday season with a foosball table or electronic dartboard from MileHighMarket.com. And remember, there's always free shipping at MileHighMarket.com.
Search for the hottest bars, clubs, lounges, DJs, and concerts in Denver at maxnights.com.
Check out this week's spotlight.
Sports fans know the Sports Column in Lodo on Blake Street. 10 years of great food, drink specials, excellent service, rooftop patio, and 9 big screens. Fox Sports Net voted Sports Column the best sports bar in Denver. Sports Illustrated ranked them one of the top 20 sports bars in America. Check out $1 You Call It's from 9 to close on Thursday nights. Sports Column on Blake Street in Lodo.
Where do you want to go tonight?
Maxnights.com.
Thinking about what to serve at your business lunch or holiday affair? You can put out a tray of cold cuts and cube cheese and no one will think any less of you. Or you can have your guests ask where all the delicious food came from. Invite Tin Star to your next party and add some sizzle, smoke, and salsa. Choose homemade chips, roasted salsa, grilled vegetable quesadilla, or a gourmet soft taco platter. Find out more about the Tin Star party platters and box lunches at tinstar.us or click on the banner in the player now. Tin Star. Sizzle, smoke, salsa.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will.
Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
My email isn't working again.
The network is down again?
Hey, who unplugged the server?
Maybe your office is not the best location for critical IT infrastructure. Today's business relies on technology. At Riptide Hosting, their job is to keep your network up and running. Riptide provides dedicated servers and server co-location in a Class A data center for much less than you might think. Riptide Hosting is located in the DTC. Click on the banner in your player to compare pricing and get more info at RiptideHosting.com.
Freedom Harley-Davidson is your touring bike headquarters. Right now, purchase any 2006 Electra Glide Classic and receive a $500 gift card toward the purchase of any genuine Harley-Davidson installed parts and accessories. Plus, you'll get a 20% discount on all parts, accessories, and motor clothes for 90 days after your purchase. The best in price and service only from Denver's premier Harley-Davidson dealer. Freedom Harley-Davidson at 8020 West Colfax, just west of Wadsworth. Stop dreaming and start enjoying the ride. More info and offer restrictions at freedomh-d.com.
Hey, do you consider yourself a great poker player? Want to test your skills against the likes of Rob Blake, Dan Hino, John Michael Lyles, and Brad May? Then join Amber Holmes for the second annual Full House Celebrity Poker Tournament on Saturday, January 7th at 6 p.m. Amber Holmes specializes in affordable townhomes, paired homes, and single-family homes, and they're proud to help local Denver charities through this annual Celebrity Poker Tournament. For more information or to register as a player, log on to amberholmes.com. Amber Holmes, a higher standard.
If you love your coffee and want to take it with you when you travel, you need to learn about Road Warrior brand Laptop Coffee. Laptop Coffee is travel-friendly coffee, sealed in personal tins. Plus, it's superior gourmet compared to the coffee most hotels leave for you in the room. Each tin contains 2 4-cup filter packs for 2 personal pots of rich, full-bodied, 100% Arabica coffee. You'll never have to endure lousy in-room hotel coffee again. For a free sample, click the ad on your screen or log on to LaptopCoffee.com and order the free sample pack.
Real Story, 24-7 on AM 760.
Jay Marvin, 6 to 10.
Al Franken, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Ed Schultz, 1 to 4.
Randy Rhoads, 48, the best.
Because then again, everything right is on the left.
Oh, I listen to Jay a lot. I love Ed.
Al's great.
Randy Rhoads.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it.
The best of Jay Marvin on AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Jay Marvin back with you. Hope you enjoyed your holiday weekend. The best of continues with a discussion on Tom Tancredo and certain ties he has to questionable people. Our guest is Mark Potok from the Southern Poverty Law Center. Tom Tancredo's in the news a lot. Of course, he's in the news a lot for immigration. But there's another side of Tom Tancredo, and there's another side of where he gets his money. And we're going to talk to Mark Potok. He's director of the Intelligence Project and the spokesman for the Southern Poverty Law Center. And good morning, Mark. Welcome to AM 760.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right, before we get into Tom Tancredo, explain a little bit about what you do as director of the Intelligence Project.
Well, the Intelligence Project is essentially the department in the Southern Poverty Law Center that monitors hate groups. We started out about 20 years ago doing essentially monitoring the Klan, kind of keeping track of the Klan in the South. But the department has grown a lot, and we now look essentially at the American radical right across the spectrum. And, you know, that has increasingly come to mean that we've looked pretty hard at some of the anti-immigration groups, and particularly the more vigilante-oriented ones that have popped up around the country recently. But we cover a whole array of different kinds of groups, publish lists of hate groups, and do, we also publish a magazine, very serious magazine, called The Intelligence Report, which is essentially an investigative journal and, which examines these groups and the people who lead them.
All right, let's dice this up a little bit. Hate groups. Are there more or less in the United States? Has it been going up, or is it just kind of the same?
We now cover about 750, or actually a little more, about 761 hate groups, and that number has been going up rather slowly. I wouldn't say that it's been, any kind of explosion, but it's been a fairly steady increase going back to the early 90s. That I think is a real trend. That's not some kind of a numerical anomaly. That's really going on. I think one can say that those kinds, certainly at the fringes of our society, these kinds of racial tensions are getting worse, not better.
Are these like your typical neo-Nazis? Is that kind of like what they are? Or?
Well, it's a whole range. I mean, yes, I would say when you look at the hard edge of the American radical right, the dominant kind of faction are neo-Nazi groups. You know, and they have been some of our sort of biggest nemesises, if that's a word, over the last few years. And that's because the neo-Nazi groups in particular have produced such an incredible amount of criminal violence or plots to, you know, murder people by the hundreds, literally. You know, right now in the neo-Nazi world, we're looking at groups that have collapsed in the last few years. So there's a lot of chaos in that particular kind of sector of the radical right.
All right, how about these border vigilantes? Where do they rank?
Well, you know, the thing about the vigilantes is that they, you know, claim strenuously not to be animated by racism. You know, what we've found in looking at these groups and trying to be fair in looking at these groups is that while that may be true of many of the people who join up with them, in fact, time and time and time again, when you really look at these people and their backgrounds and what they say when they're not, you know, staring into a television camera, is that a lot of the leadership really is animated by racism or bigotry. You know, I mean, we have things like, for instance, the California Coalition for Immigration Reform, a major group, and in fact, its leader, Barbara Coe, is a donor to Tom Tancredo. That group, Barbara Coe, is actually also a member of a group called the Council of Conservative Citizens, which is a straight-up white supremacist group that describes black people as a retrograde species of humanity. So that's just a small example, but to give you an idea of the kind of links we see quite frequently in the anti-immigration movement, and particularly the vigilante groups.
And Tancredo's taking money from these people.
That is true. You know, he's taken money from Barbara Coe. He's taken money from a guy named Joe McCutcheon, who leads an anti-immigration group in Arkansas. It's called Protect Arkansas Now. You know, in McCutcheon's case, he also has spoken to that group I mentioned, the Council of Conservative Citizens. He also, you know, it didn't take us long to find out at all that over the last 10 or 15 years, he has written a whole series of letters to the editor in Fort Smith, where he's from, basically saying, you know, complaining about the Jews. The Jews control the world. They control the media, the entertainment industry, you know. And when he was called on this, I mean, when he was named to his position, we came out right away because we all recognized McCutcheon's name. That's one of our guys. Funnily enough, when we called him on this, and this got immediately into the front pages of the Arkansas papers, McCutcheon's response was, I wasn't saying anything about the Jews that was bad. What I was saying is they're good businessmen. So there's kind of an amusing sideline to this, but those are the kinds of connections. You know, he's also taken money from a woman named Madeline Cosman, you know, who's a bit, you know, a bit of a maniacal sort of conspiracy theorist.
Now, this is Tancredo that's taken money from her.
Yes, yes, going back to Tancredo. And, you know, what I would say is that vis-a-vis Tancredo is that, you know, this is a guy who has easily hobnobbed with people who really are racist. I mean, I cannot say what is in Tom Tancredo's mind. He certainly doesn't seem very friendly to people, you know, who have brown skin. I think that's fairly obvious. But in any event, there's no question that the people around him, or a number of them, are really quite awful people. I mean, in the case of Barbara Coe, you know, we had a reporter at a meeting in Washington several years ago where, you know, he accepted an award from Barbara Coe. You know, I mean, these two describe each other as good friends. And Barbara Coe is not a nice woman.
But, you know, the majority, I bet you the majority of people who sit there in the 6th District, his congressional district, probably don't know any of this?
Well, they sure don't hear much about it. I mean, I think there's some anger, at least, in the district directed at him, you know, both because, of course, he broke his pledge not to run for a fourth term, and also because he is so little in the district. I mean, he's all about immigration. Which, you know, it really isn't that big a concern in his district. So, you know, as has now become evident, the guy spends far more time outside his district. He raises much more money outside his district than he does inside the district. So, you know, I mean, he's, you know, at least in my view, very much a one-issue guy. And, you know, it's all about the horrors of immigration, you know, sort of what the barbarians are coming to do to us all.
So he shows up on your radar.
He does. I mean, you know, he's running around the country saying things like, you know, illegal aliens are coming here to kill me and kill you and kill our families, too. You know, that's verging into the extremist world. So, you know, it's not that we've targeted, quote-unquote, Tom Tancredo, or he's on some, you know, watch list or something like that. But, you know, he's a congressman who's interacting with people who we do cover as a part of our regular work uncovering the workings of hate groups.
7:13, 13 minutes after 7, Mark Potok, director of the Intelligence Project and spokesman for the Southern Poverty Law Center. Let me switch from Tancredo a second to what about the Minutemen on the border? Do they show up?
Sure. The Minutemen, of course, are, you know, essentially an organ of these two people, Jim Gilchrist, who's now running for Congress in California, and Chris Simcox, who is essentially a guy who left Los Angeles disgusted with what, Hispanic people had done to Los Angeles, as he said, went off to Arizona to be on the front lines fighting the threats. What we see, this is not proven at all in the case of the Minutemen, but in some of these vigilante groups, and I'm thinking in particular of one called Ranch Rescue, we have seen real violence meted out by these guys, these paramilitary people. I mean, there's another group down there called Arizona Guard that was formed and actually created an entire paramilitary training compound on the border. Where their people would, they built firing ranges and lookout towers and bunkers. It was tall, it looked like you were on the West Bank or something. So that stuff is scary because, essentially, at least in my view, what's happening down on the border is you've got this very, very volatile mix of people who are armed to the teeth, who believe that Mexicans crossing the border represent, a dire threat to our civilization, and who are also animated by conspiracy theories. Almost the entire leadership of this movement has signed on to the so-called Aztlan conspiracy theory, the idea that the Mexican government is involved secretly in a plot to reconquer the American Southwest. I mean, they talk about this in all seriousness as a real-life plot.
Immigration is a big, big problem, though, in this country. The thing that gets me is that when we talk about immigration, we never talk about people coming from Eastern Europe. We never talk about people coming from Canada. It's always the same thing, our southern borders.
Yeah, I think that's right. And, and I don't want listeners to think that, we are not, the Southern Poverty Law Center, are not, some sort of open borders organization. In fact, we're not experts on immigration at all. We are, I think, experts, and fairly said, on the radical right. And, I guess the point I would make is not that immigration ought to be this level or that level, but that with each, major wave of immigration in this country's history, nativists, people who are, upset about the immigration, have said the very same kinds of things. They bring in diseases. They are not as educated as we are. They have other allegiances to the Pope or to Israel or whatever it may be. They're dirty. They're destroying our culture. And these things were said about Catholics, about the Irish, about the Italians, about Jews. Each successive wave of immigration has been described this way. And, in every case, it really has turned out not to be true. So, I'm just pointing out that once again we're going into this cycle where people, somehow feel that it is a perfectly reasonable thing to say in a public venue, even from a politician's dais, that these are barbarians, that these are people who, don't wash their hands after they go to the bathroom. I mean, that's literally the kinds of things that are said by many of the people in the anti-immigration movement.
All right, if people want to find out more about the Southern Poverty Law Center, where do they go?
Well, our main webpage is SPL Center. It's SPLCENTER.org. If they are interested in the investigative work we do around hate groups, probably the best is simply to go straight to intelligencereport.org, which is the magazine I edit and its archives.
All right, Mark, thank you so much for your time. It's been really informative. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, there's Mark Potok, director of the Intelligence Project and spokesman for the Southern Poverty Law Center. Boy, he does great work. On the other side of this break, we'll get a look at the state of the economy as well as an in-depth look at unemployment numbers in the U.S. We'll be right back on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
The greatest gift a dad can give his kids is something priceless, time. A message from the Fatherhood Education.
Freedom Harley-Davidson is your touring bike headquarters. Right now, purchase any 2006 Electra Glide Classic and receive a $500 gift card toward the purchase of any genuine Harley-Davidson installed parts and accessories. Plus, you'll get a 20% discount on all parts, accessories, and motor clothes for 90 days after your purchase. The best in price and service only from Denver's premier Harley-Davidson dealer. Freedom Harley-Davidson at 8020 West Colfax, just west of Wadsworth. Stop dreaming and start enjoying the ride. More info and offer restrictions at freedomhd.com.
holiday shopping without leaving your computer. It's the all-new MileHighMarket.com with thousands of products. Imagine an arcade-quality electronic air hockey table for the game room, delivered in time for the holidays. Or an elegant wood poker chip humidor for that Texas Hold'em fan on your list. Entertain family and friends this holiday season with a foosball table or electronic dartboard from MileHighMarket.com. And remember, there's always free shipping at MileHighMarket.com.
Thinking about what to serve at your business lunch or holiday affair? You can put out a tray of cold cuts and cube cheese and no one will think any less of you. Or you can have your guests ask where all the delicious food came from. Invite Tin Star to your next party and add some sizzle, smoke, and salsa. Choose homemade chips, roasted salsa, grilled vegetable quesadilla, or a gourmet soft taco platter. Find out more about the Tin Star party platters and box lunches at tinstar.us or click on the banner in the player now. Tin Star. Sizzle, smoke, salsa.
Everyone has a dream home, an ideal place where they can live life by their rules, especially when it comes to their TV.
In my dream home, my TV show would start when I was ready.
In my dream home, my movies would come to life.
Comcast has an offer that will make your dreams a reality. Call today and get digital cable, including on-demand and Stars, just $49.99 per month for 3 months.
In my dream home, Dora the Explorer will come over anytime I want it.
On-demand is a library of thousands of free movies and shows you can start anytime, only from Comcast, not satellite. Comcast also offers you up to 14 high-definition channels, including local channels you can't get from satellite.
Improve your home.
Improve your life.
And dream big.
With Comcast.
Call 1-800-COMCAST for digital cable with on-demand and Stars. Just $49.99 per month for 3 months. That's 1-800-COMCAST. Limited time offer, 3 months at $49.99 per month. Applies to digital silver with Stars. After promotional period, regular rates apply. Restricted supply not available in all areas.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
My email isn't working again.
The network is down again?
Hey, who unplugged the server?
Maybe your office is not the best location for critical IT infrastructure. Today's business relies on technology. At Riptide Hosting, their job is to keep your network up and running. Riptide provides dedicated servers and server co-location in a Class A data center for much less than you might think. Riptide Hosting is located in the DTC. Click on the banner in your player to compare pricing and get more info at RiptideHosting.com.
Search for the hottest bars, clubs, lounges, DJs, and concerts in Denver at MaxNights.com.
Check out this week's spotlight.
Sports fans know the Sports Column in Lodo on Blake Street. 10 years of great food, drink specials, excellent service, rooftop patio, and 9 big screens. Fox Sports Net voted Sports Column the best sports bar in Denver. Sports Illustrated ranked them one of the top 20 sports bars in America. Check out $1 U College from 9 to close on Thursday nights. Sports Column on Blake Street in Lodo.
Where do you want to go tonight?
MaxNights.com.
Christian Weller. He's senior economist at the Center for American Progress.
And Dr. Weller, good morning and welcome to AM 760.
Good morning, Jay. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. I think we had you on once before. All right, Bush is in the Rose Garden. What was this, on Friday? And he makes these comments about the economy. Of course, the Bush administration is miffed as to why they're not getting any credit for this. And then on top of that, I guess he's going to go out today and make another speech on the economy, trying to change the subject, obviously, away from Iraq. But I got a couple of questions for you here right off the bat. This job report that he quoted. Now, this is for the previous. This is for 04, right?
No, this is actually for November. I think when we look at what the president is saying, I think the one thing he's right is that the economy has been strong. The economy has been growing solidly despite even hurricanes and other factors. But we've never doubted that. We've never said like the economy is not going okay. We have said that has not translated into jobs. That has not translated, most importantly, into wages.
Okay. The point I wanted to bring up here was, it was for the last month, that he says that they created 215,000 jobs. But don't you have to create about 200,000? Don't you have to create somewhere in the neighborhood of 200,000 jobs a month just to be able to keep up with people coming into the workplace?
Well, that's right. You need to be about 150,000, 160,000 jobs just to keep pace with the population growth. The other part is also generally in the beginning of a recovery, which started in late 2001, you see above average job growth. We actually saw job declines at that point for about a year and a half. And now for the last 2.5 years, we've had some job growth. Most of that has, again, been below average. The November numbers are, again, below average. We should have had a period of 1 to 2 years where we have had really above average job growth, and we never had that. So what that means is that we have millions of people who are looking for jobs who can't find them. The other side to that equation is that the employers know that there are millions of people out there who want to work, and they basically keep the wages down, keep benefits down, actually reduce benefits when you look at health care. And that's really what's hurting America's middle class.
Well, that brings up my next point. Gross domestic product, the growth there has been reasonably good. It's been pretty good. But it doesn't trickle down. I mean, corporate profits have soared, but it's failed to trickle down to the average American family. As a matter of fact, I guess you could make the case that American families are, what, working less hours than they were before, and they're not making the gains that this president tries to portray that they are.
That's correct. I mean, if you look at the annual numbers, and for 2004 is the last numbers we have, American families have not seen any increases in their income for 5 years running. Now, in 2005, that picture hasn't changed. Adjusting for inflation, wages are down. People have been losing money. And that's just the money. That's just the wages. On top of that, we know that employers are cutting back on pension benefits, health insurance benefits, and other benefits. So overall, working families or middle-class families are doing worse than they did before. And that's really in an economy that is growing at a solid pace that is untenable. It's also unsustainable because what it means is people don't really have the money to keep the economy going through more consumption, yet they're consuming, and they're consuming by borrowing more money. And that really, you can't keep that going for forever.
Now, the rich are doing pretty well because they, you know, the small minority of them, because, you know, they get things like capital gains, they get stocks and, you know, other things that benefit them. But the average American, which is why this cracks me up, I mean, how the president gets out there and spouts this, but the average American doesn't see any of this. I mean, doesn't have that kind of an advantage.
That's correct. I mean, if you look at the average American, really what you see is a decline in income, a belt tightening, essentially, and that the only way people can get out of this and have gotten out of this is by borrowing more money. And the chickens are coming home to roost, because at this point, people are paying more and more as interest rates are going up to service their debt, and a lot more people are defaulting on that debt and going into bankruptcy. The other side of the economy is that the companies are awash in money, and they're swimming in cash, and the corporations don't know what to do with it. We see more and more reports in the Wall Street Journal and Barron's and other publications where companies basically say, we don't know what to do with all this money. And instead of giving it back to the workers and hiring more people or paying them more, they're basically giving it back in dividends and share repurchases and other forms. But basically, we have a problem. We have a divided economy, and it's coming to a standstill somewhat because we're not giving back the money from economic growth to workers in the form of higher wages.
6:27, 27 minutes after 6, Dr. Christian Weller on the line with us from the Center for American Progress. So does this White House tell the truth about anything? I mean, when the president stands out, and he's going to do it again today, when he stands out there and trumpets the economy, yeah, for his corporate supporters and for people who back the GOP, basically, the business community, things are looking fine. But for the rest of us, you know, lunchbox folks out there, things aren't looking that good. And I wonder how holiday shopping is going to turn out.
It's a little hard to see how holiday shopping will turn out. There's a lot of little factors that go into it, including the weather. But I think the overall picture generally is that middle-class families are still struggling and struggling to make ends meet, largely making debt payments. But I think the big question is, and I think the big political question is, why isn't the president paying attention to, I think, what worries people most right now is the loss of health care, the declining health care quality. And I think when it comes to the economy, it's fine to say, like, okay, we have GDP growth, which means very little for most people. But I think what worries people is that the president and politicians generally are not addressing what really worries people, and that's health care and declining wages.
All right, one last question here before we run out of time. And I read this in the op-ed pages over the weekend. Should the president and should this administration have reacted in any way, shape, or form to the fact that GM lays off 30,000 people and is essentially failing, and essentially when it comes to manufacturing this country, we're going downhill, and yet the administration has nothing to say about it?
I think the fact that we have had 4.5 year decline in manufacturing certainly should have given rise to national attention. We need the manufacturing sector for rising living standards across the entire economy. We need it for innovative capacity. We have lost 2.5 million jobs, and nobody really paid attention to it. And I think that is a national disgrace, and it's going to hurt us in the long run.
And also, this administration has allowed pensions basically to go away.
That is true. I think this administration has a very clear bias against what is called defined benefit pensions, any kind of secure retirement or any type of secure benefit for working families. It's all about the individual. It's all about the individual taking on risks. And clearly, when the pensions were running into trouble in the airline industry for a number of reasons, including, for instance, the war in Iraq and SARS and 9/11 and so on, that the administration was fine just not paying attention or taking care of it because it already was biased against those types of benefits.
Boy, just think, we got 3 more years of this. Huh. All right, Dr. Weller, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really do appreciate it and look forward to talking to you again.
Anytime, Jane, anytime.
You got it. Here's Dr. Christian Weller, senior economist at the Center for American Progress, where he specializes in Social Security and retirement income, macroeconomics, the Federal Reserve, and international finance. And a note of disclosure, which I always do, I am a contributor to the Center for American Progress. More Best of Jay Marvin coming up next with ACLU's...
Turn your computer into a radio. Listen live to AM 760 24 hours a day on AM 760. The Best of Jay Marvin on AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Jay Marvin back on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The extension of the Patriot Act was recently blocked by the Senate. Before that happened, we talked to Lisa Graves, who is Senior Counsel of Legislative Strategy for the ACLU. We picked this one up talking about Senator Russ Feingold, who threatened to filibuster and block the compromise on the Patriot Act. And he says that he's willing to go to the wall and filibuster this thing.
Well, he's a courageous man, and I think that he's got a lot of allies in that effort. This decision, which they call a compromise among the senators and members of Congress who were appointed to negotiate the Patriot Act, is a partisan act. I don't think there's a single Democrat in support of, or at least who have signed on to that report, because it doesn't protect the privacy of innocent Americans.
All right. Of the provisions of the Patriot Act, let me ask you if these are still in there. Checking out library books, looking at what people check out of libraries.
Yes, there's no requirement that there be a connection between the records they want and a suspected foreign terrorist.
How about sneaking peeks? Can they come into my house?
They just, under the revisions, the government has a time of about 30 days to not tell you about it, and that could be extended for years beyond that.
See, you know, that's so un-American. How do these guys, in all good conscience, get away with this kind of stuff? I mean, sneak and peek, I mean, it smacks of the Nixon years. It smacks of, like, McCarthyism. You know, I mean, I'm just blown away by that.
Well, fortunately, there's a group of Republican and Democratic senators who are determined to fight this bill, and this bipartisan group, along with Senator Feingold, has threatened to filibuster the bill because it doesn't really fix the fundamental problems with the Patriot Act, which was passed too fast after 9/11. It just went too far, and now's the time to fix it. So I think you're right. You're not alone. There are a lot of people in Congress who think this bill doesn't do the right thing by the American people's privacy rights, and it easily could be fixed.
You know, the other thing, too, it's Orwellian named, the Patriot Act. There's nothing patriotic about it.
Well, I think that they had hoped to put that tag on anyone who disagreed, but now the chorus of voices from Colorado's resolution to red state, blue state, purple state, whatever, that chorus has grown so much that I don't think they can call the people who oppose unpatriotic. In fact, what's happened is that the people who think this bill needs to be improved have staked out the territory of being the true patriots who are fighting for the checks and balances our founding fathers put into the Constitution that the Patriot Act unpatriotically stripped out.
All right, what about wiretaps?
Any checks and balances on that? They still have to get a court order, or can they just go ahead and do it?
They still have to get a court order. They just don't have to ascertain that the person they're following is actually using the phone or likely to use the phone, which is a problem because these foreign intelligence wiretaps are flipped on, basically, and they're not flipped off. And so a lot of innocent people's conversations can be swept in, and that power also wasn't corrected with the fix that was proposed by this bipartisan group of senators.
Yeah, I wonder if they're nailing me for my calls to Cuba. I wonder if they're listening in.
Well, you know, the really troubling thing has been the reports in recent weeks that the FBI has issued tens of thousands of national security letters gathering the internet transactions and financial records of people who don't have any connection to a suspected terrorist. And the way the law is defined now, an electronic communication provider is often these phone companies are part of internet providers. You know, they're a multi-limbed corporation. And so a lot of records, not just phone logs, but internet transactions now can be swept in by the FBI without any court order, secretly, unilaterally, and without any proof or evidence or even a fact or even some link between the people whose records are swept into the FBI databases and a suspected foreign terrorist.
Boy, you know, that is so scary. And how long, here's the other thing, how long do they hold on to this stuff? How long do they hold on to this, and do they ever notify the people that they're taking the stuff from?
Well, in the words of the then Attorney General John Ashcroft, these files will be, quote, maintained. So I think that sounds like forever. And you will never know that your records are in these files because the businesses that have records about you, about your medical records, tax records, library records, bookstore records, financial records, they're barred from telling you that the FBI has done one of these phishing expeditions or has demanded customer lists or other data. They can't tell you about it. And because of the sharing policies, which are, you know, one of the good things in terms of having more coordination to fight terrorism, the downside of that is that when innocent people's records are pulled in by the FBI, they can be shared across government agencies. Do they become part of no-fly lists? Do they become part of other secret lists? Who knows? That's one of the major threats. But you'll never know that your bank or your jeweler or your travel agency or your insurance company or your doctor has turned over records about you, even if you've done nothing wrong and have no connection to a suspected foreign terrorist.
6:41, 19 minutes in front of 7 o'clock. We're talking to Lisa Graves, Senior Counsel of Legislative Strategy at the ACLU. Can I change the topic for a second because I'm interested about this? Aren't you guys, isn't the ACLU suing the United States government over this rendition thing?
Yes, we are. That is an enormous issue that I think all Americans ought to be concerned about when our government is kidnapping people and taking them to far-off locations and force-feeding them, treating them inhumanely or torturing them, depending on however you want to define it. It's all barred by the Geneva Convention that we've been a party to for decades and decades. That's a tremendous blow to American values, to the American reputation abroad, and to the safety of our own citizens and service members.
You know, this is a stupid thing for anybody working on a progressive talk station to say. And there's one part of me that, you know, that understands it, but there's another part of me that doesn't get it. What in the world are we doing with this government? I mean, this government's out of control. And I don't mean that from like a, you know, right-wing Illuminati gold standard type of, the Twin Towers. I mean, that was an inside government job. I'm not talking about, like a Manchurian candidate type of thing. I'm talking about reality, that they've taken everything that we're supposed to, you know, hold near and dear, and they just twisted it totally around. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, you know, I think what's interesting is that people on the right, conservatives, and people on the left, some liberals, have come together about this whole notion of having checks and balances and the notion that the president or the FBI or the executive branch is somehow a king and can decide who is above the law, who's beyond the law, whether the Fourth Amendment means what it says, whether they get to decide that you don't have this right, these rights, these fundamental human rights that are embodied in our Bill of Rights. And that really is something that I think the American people are finally waking up to. And it's not, I don't think it is a partisan political issue. It's an issue about who we are as Americans, and it's an issue about whether we're going to be a nation that's governed by the rule of law or whether there are going to be a few men in the administration, no matter what their party, who think that they can redefine the law so that they don't have to follow it. That's just not the American way.
Well, as much as the Republicans like to bandy about Joe Lieberman, I'd like to bandy about Bob Barr, who's involved with the ACLU. And I know he, as a conservative, I mean, I know he's dead set against this.
Yes, he is someone who, you know, I have been working with a lot this year on the Patriot Act and some of these other privacy issues. I first, you know, heard of Congressman Barr during the impeachment process. My view was not so favorable then, but he really is someone who has a tremendous commitment to our Constitution and to the privacy rights of all Americans, and has a very conservative but, you know, really constitutionalist concern about any government that thinks that it can spy on American citizens, thinks that it can gather information on people without them having done anything wrong, thinks that they can redefine the rules. I don't want to speak for him, but I just have to say it has been a tremendous benefit, I think, to the American people to have people like Congressman Barr joining people on the left, bringing together people from the right to say that we expect more from our government than these sorts of secretive, extraordinary powers being used against innocent Americans.
Lisa, thank you so much for being on the program this morning. Really do appreciate it. Appreciate your work. And you're welcome back here anytime.
Oh, thank you so much. We'll have a happy holiday. Next week is the vote on Patriot in both houses, and we certainly hope that anyone who's listening will call the member of Congress and ask them to please block and vote against the Patriot Act. It just doesn't protect the privacy rights of innocent Americans, and it ought to.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Senior counsel.
Holiday shopping without leaving your computer. It's the all-new MileHighMarket.com with thousands of products. Imagine an arcade-quality electronic air hockey table for the game room, delivered in time for the holidays. Or an elegant wood poker chip humidor for that Texas Hold'em fan on your list. Entertain family and friends this holiday season with a foosball table or electronic dartboard from MileHighMarket.com. And remember, there's always free shipping at MileHighMarket.com.
Everyone has a dream home, an ideal place where they can live life by their rules, especially when it comes to their TV.
In my dream home, my TV show would start when I was ready.
In my dream home, my movies would come to life.
Comcast has an offer that will make your dreams a reality. Call today and get digital cable, including on-demand and Stars, just $49.99 per month for 3 months.
In my dream home, Dora the Explorer will come over anytime I want it.
On-demand is a library of thousands of free movies and shows you can start anytime, only from Comcast, not satellite. Comcast also offers you up to 14 high-definition channels, including local channels you can't get from satellite.
Improve your home.
Improve your life.
And dream big.
With Comcast.
Call 1-800-COMCAST for digital cable with on-demand and Stars. Just $49.99 per month for 3 months. That's 1-800-COMCAST. Limited time offer, 3 months at $49.99 per month, applies to digital silver with Stars. After promotional period, regular rates apply. Restricted supply not available in all areas.
My email isn't working again.
The network is down again?
Hey, who unplugged the server?
Maybe your office is not the best location for critical IT infrastructure. Today's business relies on technology. At Riptide Hosting, their job is to keep your network up and running. Riptide provides dedicated servers and server co-location in a Class A data center for much less than you might think. Riptide Hosting is located in the DTC. Click on the banner in your player to compare pricing and get more info at RiptideHosting.com.
Search for the hottest bars, clubs, lounges, DJs, and concerts in Denver at maxnights.com.
Check out this week's spotlight.
Sports fans know the Sports Column in Lodo on Blake Street. 10 years of great food, drink specials, excellent service, rooftop patio, and 9 big screens. Fox Sports Net voted Sports Column the best sports bar in Denver. Sports Illustrated ranked them one of the top 20 sports bars in America. Check out $1 You Call It's from 9 to close on Thursday nights. Sports Column on Blake Street in Lodo.
Where do you want to go tonight?
maxnights.com.
Hey, do you consider yourself a great poker player? Want to test your skills against the likes of Rob Blake, Dan Hino, John Michael Lyles, and Brad May? Then join Amber Holmes for the second annual Full House Celebrity Poker Tournament on Saturday, January 7th at 6 p.m. Amber Holmes specializes in affordable townhomes, paired homes, and single-family homes, and they're proud to help local Denver charities through this annual Celebrity Poker Tournament. For more information or to register as a player, log on to AmberHolmes.com. Amber Holmes, a higher standard.
If you love your coffee and want to take it with you when you travel, you need to learn about Road Warrior brand Laptop Coffee. Laptop Coffee is travel-friendly coffee, sealed in personal tins. Plus, it's superior gourmet compared to the coffee most hotels leave for you in the room. Each tin contains 2 4-cup filter packs for 2 personal pots of rich, full-bodied, 100% Arabica coffee. You'll never have to endure lousy in-room hotel coffee again. For a free sample, click the ad on your screen or log on to laptopcoffee.com and order the free sample pack.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
This is Anthony Hopkins with an important message about cancer prevention and treatment. While research continues for better ways to detect and treat cancer, there's one very important step I would ask you to consider right now, and that is to take a good look at your diet. New studies show that fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and other high-fiber vegetarian foods can reduce the risk of certain cancers. And they may even help with survival. And there's more good news. A plant-based diet isn't just good for beating cancer. It can help protect against diabetes, heart disease, and obesity. For a free brochure and plenty of delicious recipes, please visit us on the web at www.cancerproject.org or call 866-906-WELL. This message is brought to you by the Cancer Project, a non-profit organization advancing cancer prevention and survival through nutrition, education, and research.
AM 760. The real story, 24-7 on AM 760.
Jay Marvin, 6 to 10.
Al Franken, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Ed Schultz, 1 to 4.
Randy Rhoads, 48, the best.
Because then again, everything right is on the left.
Oh, I listen to Jay a lot. I love Ed.
Al's great.
Randy Rhoads.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it.
Back to the best of Jay Marvin on AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk.
We're back with more of the best of. Next up is the nation's Beat the Devil columnist, Alexander Coburn. He also writes for the LA Times and is co-editor of the newsletter Counterpunch. He recently wrote about the selling of fake news and the history of it. Check this out. It's on the nation's website, and it's also in the December 26th issue of the Nation magazine, all of the news that's fit to buy. And it talks about this country's long history of having engaged in this process. And there's a quote out of this that that is funnier than hell. You know, am I going to have time to quote this before he gets on, because it's funny? He says, on the business of paid placement of stories in the Iraqi press, there's been some pompous huffing and puffing among the U.S. opinion forming classes about the dangers of poisoning the well and the paramount importance of installing in the Iraqi mind respect for the glorious tradition of unbiased, unbought journalism as practiced in the American homeland. It says, actually, it's an encouraging sign of resourcefulness that Iraqi editors, of those Iraqi editors, and that they managed to get paid to print the Pentagon's handouts. Here in the homeland, editors pride themselves on performing the same service without remuneration. Alexander, are you on the line?
I'm right here.
All right. Counterpunch.org. People should check it out. This column in The Nation is great. I mean, it's really good. Talk about the history. I mean, this whole thing about buying news, this just didn't happen with this incident about Iraq. This has been going on in this country's history for a long time.
Absolutely, it's the basis of journalism. In the 18th century, you know, in Europe, you editors just printed stuff. You went along with your handout. You gave it to the editor. You gave him $20 or $50 or $100, and they went ahead. And of course, that continues today. If you're a pharmaceutical company, you go to the New York Times. You give them $200,000 to buy a full-page spread, and the New York Times won't attack your products. It's easy. You could do it.
How in the world can we trust any? I mean, where do you get your news from? How can you trust the mainstream media? I guess you can't trust them at all.
You can't. You can't trust them. You never could trust them. You never should trust them. And, of course, the Internet's mostly filled with lunatics, so there's nowhere to turn. Maybe your radio program. Unfortunately, I live on the west coast of California, and I can't listen to it every day. But, no, you just have to get everything you can, not too much, because you don't want to spend your whole life like a nerd looking at your computer screen, and kind of balance it out and have certain principles like think of the worst possible thing the United States government could do, and you can more or less bet that it's doing it.
Boy, I got to stop quoting the New York Times on the air, apparently.
Counterpunch, we're right most of the time.
Yeah, I know Counterpunch is great. Talk a little bit about Operation Mockingbird.
Oh, well, Mockingbird, you see, now, the CIA was set up in 1947. And one of the first things they did, you have to realize that the main obsession of secret organizations is press. They're not really interested in creeping overseas and murdering someone and spying. They want to manipulate public opinion, usually to see them in a favorable light. And so in 1947, the CIA was set up, and it was going to lead the charge against the communist Russia and China.
Right.
And they wanted to enlist the press. So they immediately, a guy called Frank Wisner was put in charge, and he hired Phil Graham, who's the husband of the late Catherine Graham, of the Washington Post, to be in charge of this program. So now already you have an editor, a publisher, actually, of Newsweek and Washington Post, in charge of a secret program, and he wasn't telling anyone about it. He then went out and hired a lot of other journalists and talked to people like the Sulzbergers of the New York Times, and they agreed that they would secretly help the CIA. They would help them, A, by publishing news favorable to them, B, by telling their journalists to cooperate, and looking the other way when the CIA said to the journalist, we can't go into, I don't know, Tehran, but you can because you're a journalist, and will you please spy for us? And they all said yes. And that was Operation Mockingbird, and it went on and on and on. It probably still goes on. In 1976, when George Bush Sr. took over the CIA, they issued an announcement, and they said, from now on, the CIA will not secretly hire journalists and pay them.
Right.
That tells you that up until 1976, that's exactly what they were doing. Now, nothing the CIA says should be believed because, of course, they're a secret organization that survives by lying. And therefore, we assume that they're still doing it. So that really tells, that's what Mockingbird is all about. And the point I made in that column was that Judy Miller of the New York Times, who, of course, is the leading sales lady for weapons of mass destruction, which didn't exist in Iraq.
Right, she was, you know, a conduit for Ahmed Shalabi.
Mr. Shalabi, who's now the number two in the provisional government of Iraq, who's a former convicted bank robber from Jordan. That's the world we live in.
Yeah, that's
anyway,
exactly right.
What does she do? The CIA set up Shalabi's organization, the Iraqi National Congress, at the beginning of the 1990s. And one of the first things they did was give them about $30 million to give them information about Iraq. Well, Chalabi's no fool. Everybody agrees about that. And he wanted the U.S. to invade Iraq. And how do you get the U.S. to invade Iraq? You tell them that Saddam Hussein's got nuclear weapons and every other kind of weapon of mass destruction. So he took some of that money and paid people when they came out of Iraq to go along and say that they'd been down in the secret cellars of Saddam Hussein and all they could see were nuclear weapons as far as the eye could see. And the leading person they told that to was Judy Miller of the New York Times. So you can see that the CIA actually was basically paying for the stuff going into the New York Times.
But she didn't even get paid for it.
Not so far as I know. I think she just took her salary. I mean, she was doing very well because, of course, she was being paid by the New York Times, and she also had written a best-selling book called, I don't know, what was it called, Germs or something.
Yeah, I think so. 9:12, 12 minutes after 9 at AM 760, Alexander Colburn with counterpunch.org, worth definitely checking out on the Internet, and also writes for The Nation. You know, in this Operation Mockingbird, back to that, I mean, you name a bunch of journalists who are on the CIA payroll, and one of the people you bring up, and here's Walter Pincus of the Washington Post, and he's still around.
He's still around, still going strong. He actually once read a long piece of how he was courted by the CIA. He was going to, I don't know, do work for them, and then he went and worked for the Washington Post. Anybody who reads the... Now, look, let's be clear here. We've got laws to consider, and we're not saying that he's being paid off by the CIA, but if you look at Walter Pincus's journalism down the years, you can see that basically he takes the agency line, whenever it really matters, like when it mattered because they didn't like Gary Webb, the poor guy who killed himself, who said that the CIA had been in league with the Contras in Nicaragua and all the rest of it. He was one of the first people to jump on Webb. Whenever the CIA is really in trouble, people like Pincus stand up and salute.
Now, you know, the British government sat on this report, but Bush wanted to bomb Al Jazeera.
Yeah, wouldn't you? I mean, there it is.
Because he didn't like what was coming out of there, and we've attacked their reporters before, haven't we?
We certainly have. When the attack on Iraq was taking place in 2003, well, first of all, Al Jazeera was very inconvenient. It's the first sort of news organization in the third world that's having real effect. You know, and they put their side of the story, and the people in America don't like it, because previously everybody in the world had to watch CNN. So suddenly you got Al Jazeera. So in Afghanistan, they had an office there in Kabul, and the CIA, the U.S. Air Force bombed it. They missed, as usual, and then the second time they hit it, and I think they killed an Al Jazeera guy. Then when they were invading Iraq, the Al Jazeera people in Baghdad said, look, please don't bomb us again. Don't say it's going to be a mistake. Our address is at number 1234, I don't know, Saddam Hussein Boulevard or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Don't do it. So what happened next? The Al Jazeera guy, I must say rather foolishly, was standing on the roof of this building taking a photograph of something, and lo and behold, what happens? A U.S. fighter plane comes along and blows him away. And then the same day, they blew away a Spanish TV reporter and a Ukrainian working for Reuters, and they bombed the offices of an Arab paper. So that was three journalists killed in one day. None of these journalists being people that I think the U.S. particularly wanted taking photographs.
Yeah, and they obviously couldn't pay him to come around to the to our line of thinking. Quickly, before we run out of time here, number one, I got to tell you, I enjoyed your jousts with Christopher Hitchens, and number two, you write about all kinds of things. What's your take on the elections in Iraq?
The elections in Iraq? I think they signal something very simple. Iraq's going to break up. It already is breaking up. And what's the net result of this invasion? You're going to have the prime bit of Iraq that's going to be left is the Shia Iraq. They have most of the 80% of the...
Freedom Harley-Davidson is your touring bike headquarters. Right now, purchase any 2006 Electric Glide Classic and receive a $500 gift card toward the purchase of any genuine Harley-Davidson installed parts and accessories. Plus, you'll get a 20% discount on all parts, accessories, and motor clothes for 90 days after your purchase. The best in price and service only from Denver's premier Harley-Davidson dealer. Freedom Harley-Davidson at 8020 West Colfax, just west of Wadsworth. Stop dreaming and start enjoying the ride. More info and offer restrictions at freedomh-d.com.
Holiday shopping without leaving your computer. It's the all-new MileHighMarket.com with thousands of products. Imagine an arcade-quality electronic air hockey table for the game room, delivered in time for the holidays. Or an elegant wood poker chip humidor for that Texas Hold'em fan on your list. Entertain family and friends this holiday season with a foosball table or electronic dartboard from MileHighMarket.com. And remember, there's always free shipping at MileHighMarket.com.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
Everyone has a dream home, an ideal place where they can live life by their rules, especially when it comes to their TV.
In my dream home, my TV show would start when I was ready.
In my dream home, my movies would come to life.
Comcast has an offer that will make your dreams a reality. Call today and get digital cable, including on-demand and Stars, just $49.99 per month for 3 months.
In my dream home, Dora the Explorer will come over anytime I want it.
On-demand is a library of thousands of free movies and shows you can start anytime, only from Comcast, not satellite. Comcast also offers you up to 14 high-definition channels, including local channels you can't get from satellite.
Improve your home.
Improve your life.
And dream big.
With Comcast.
Call 1-800-COMCAST for digital cable with on-demand and Stars. Just $49.99 per month for 3 months. That's 1-800-COMCAST. Limited time offer, 3 months at $49.99 per month, applies to digital silver with Stars. After promotional period, regular rates apply. Restricted supply not available in all areas.
What do you want to do tonight?
Search for the hottest bars, clubs, lounges, DJs, and concerts in Denver at maxnights.com.
Check out this week's spotlight.
Sports fans know the Sports Column in Lodo on Blake Street. 10 years of great food, drink specials, excellent service, rooftop patio, and 9 big screens. Fox Sports Net voted Sports Column the best sports bar in Denver. Sports Illustrated ranked them one of the top 20 sports bars in America. Check out $1 You Call It's from 9 to close on Thursday nights. Sports Column on Blake Street in Lodo.
Where do you want to go tonight?
Maxnights.com.
Thinking about what to serve at your business lunch or holiday affair? You can put out a tray of cold cuts and cube cheese and no one will think any less of you. Or you can have your guests ask where all the delicious food came from. Invite Tin Star to your next party and add some sizzle, smoke, and salsa. Choose homemade chips, roasted salsa, grilled vegetable quesadilla, or a gourmet soft taco platter. Find out more about the Tin Star party platters and box lunches at tinstar.us or click on the banner in the player now. Tin Star. Sizzle, smoke, salsa.
My email isn't working again.
The network is down again?
Hey, who unplugged the server?
Maybe your office is not the best location for critical IT infrastructure. Today's business relies on technology. At Riptide Hosting, their job is to keep your network up and running. Riptide provides dedicated servers and server co-location in a Class A data center for much less than you might think. Riptide Hosting is located in the DTC. Click on the banner in your player to compare pricing and get more info at riptidehosting.com.
What have you learned from this?
How to be resilient, how to move on from something that for us we can't even fathom.
Fishing boats that gave men back their jobs, and by doing that, gave men back their dignity. Barry Peterson, CBS News. Helwak, Thailand.
A suicide bomber has struck a funeral in a Shiite neighborhood in Baghdad. CBS News reporter Peter Gao says the explosion has killed at least two people and injured 23 others.
Three sources tell CBS that a motorcycle packed with explosives was left in a marketplace in the Shia-dominated Shulla district of Baghdad, then detonated.
Shopping the day after Christmas, it's not for the faint-hearted. This woman was among the early birds, looking for the best deals at Macy's in Manhattan.
I think it is a little crazy, but and it's a lot of fun. It's sort of like a one-day kind of thing, sort of like the way guys go to soccer games. We do the day after Christmas, and you get great bargains, and then you can save them and stash them away for next year.
Millions of Americans may be exchanging unwanted gifts. CBS technology expert Larry Magid says if you bought something online, you don't necessarily have to send it back.
If you return an item to an online merchant, you'll probably have to pay return shipping unless the item's defective. But if the merchant also has a brick-and-mortar store, you may be able to take it back to the store.
During its 36 seasons, Monday Night Football revolutionized the way we watch TV sports. Paul Gough covers TV for The Hollywood Reporter.
It was a technical achievement that had never been done before. What Rune Arledge, Dennis Lewin, and Chet Ford created was a new way of looking at not just football, but sports in general.
But tonight is the end game for the series on ABC, a victim of the times.
Broadcast television in general has declined in popularity because it's no longer the only game in town.
Monday Night Football goes to cable and ESPN next fall. 10 days, no sign of Toga, the baby penguin snatched from a British zoo. Officials there say the baby's mom and dad are apparently thinking toward the future. They've reportedly started flirting. The reward for finding Toga is now up to $45,000, but the zoo's manager says there's little hope of finding him. This is CBS News.
Make this the year you find love. I'm relationship expert Dawn Yannick, and I want to tell you about a guide I've written for Match.com that will change the life of anyone who's looking for a meaningful relationship. It's called How to Find the Right Person in 90 Days, and it's based on the millions of successful relationships Match.com has inspired over the past 10 years. Now, Match.com wants you to have it free. Finding love is one resolution you can keep. Get started today at Match.com with our guide, free. Visit Match.com for details.
Hey, I'm Rachel Ray. I whip up a new 30-minute meal every night of the week, so I know how hard it is to come up with something different for dinner day in and day out. That's why I've written 365 No Repeats, filled with recipes for everything from super easy mac and cheese to sage and balsamic pork chops. It's the one cookbook you need to cook something amazing and totally different every night of the year. 365 No Repeats by me, Rachel Ray. You can count on it every single night. Find it wherever cookbooks are sold.
The Men's Watch.
AM 760. The Real Story. 24-7 on AM 760.
Jay Marvin, 6 to 10.
Al Franken, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Ed Schultz, 1 to 4.
Randy Rhoads, 48, the best.
Because then again, everything right
is on the left.
Oh, I listen to Jay a lot. I love Ed.
That's great.
Randy Rhodes.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it.
Jay Marv on AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Hour three of the best of Jay Marvin underway. Hope you enjoyed the holidays. Hey, I'm out for the rest of the week. Aaron Hart in tomorrow on Wednesday. Then special guest Carl Jeffers on Thursday and Friday. Our next guest is Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton. She and the Congressional Black Caucus announced their opposition to Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito. We discussed Alito's troubled paper trail with the Congresswoman, and you don't want to miss this. All right, let's go to the phones here. The Congressional Black Caucus opposes Samuel Alito, and we've got on the line Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton. If you don't know who she is, and you should, she's in her eighth term as a congresswoman for the District of Columbia. She was named by President Jimmy Carter, by the way, as the first woman to chair the Equal Employment Opportunities Commission, and she's also chair of the CBC Judicial Task Force. And Congresswoman Holmes, good morning, and thanks, or Congresswoman Norton, good morning, and thanks for being here.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Oh, I really appreciate it. All right, tell us why it is that the Congressional Black Caucus opposes Samuel Alito.
Well, the best way to understand it is to ask yourself, why didn't the president appoint this man in the first place? He obviously has a legal qualification. We think it's because he knows what we know, and that is that this man stands as a hard right conservative. The best evidence of that is that on the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, he was a consistent dissenter from the majority. Now, out of the mouths of his own colleagues, I think, we show why we must oppose him. His worst record, frankly, is on race discrimination cases. And since we are the Congressional Black Caucus, we have focused particularly on how awful those cases are. We are sure that many of the 5-4 decisions on which the rights of African Americans depend would be overturned if he were to replace Sandra Day O'Connor, because Sandra Day O'Connor was a swing vote, the 5-4 vote, in cases like the affirmative action case at the University of Michigan Law School, which was narrowly won 5-4, in cases like redistricting cases, where race can be used as a factor which hangs on a 5-4 narrow, fragile majority. We feel so strongly that Alito must not go to the court that we have asked for a meeting with the 14 Democrats and Republicans, 7 on each side, who have postured themselves as the swing votes, the people who can decide this issue. And we will be releasing that letter today. We have hand-delivered it this morning to all 14, saying before we go home for Christmas, representatives of the Congressional Black Caucus asked to meet specifically with you, and we are not going over the whole territory. Much of the territory with others who disagree with Alito, we agree, we would also agree, but we are focusing on race discrimination, particularly because in those cases he is so awful.
8:09, 9 minutes after 8 on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. We've got Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton on the line. And Congresswoman, let me give you an example of something that Alito was involved in. In 2001, Alito voted to affirm the death judgment of an African-American man convicted by an all-white jury in Delaware. Yeah, that doesn't, to me, I mean,
The problem with that is not only that they're all white, but he has trivialized the notion of challenging juries because they are all white. He has said that, you know, that's like counting, if you want to count how many challenges the prosecutor makes on race, that's like counting how many presidents were left-handed. And that statement drew a drew from the majority, who disagreed with him, a strong rebuke. So when I say this is a hard right judge, you might say, well, you know, this is an African American member of Congress talking. I am myself a constitutional lawyer, by the way, but I draw these views not from our own views, although we agree with them. I draw these views from the dissents. And and the reply to dissents on the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. And I think the best evidence that he is hard right comes from his own court, where he has been a consistent dissenter. If you are appointing somebody in the conservative mainstream, then how come he has dissented consistently on the court where he sat? What do you expect him to do when he gets to the Supreme Court, where precedent constrains him far less, and he, as a Supreme Court justice, can vote to overturn critical precedents affecting women, affecting working people, and certainly affecting African Americans?
Yeah, he certainly makes me nervous. There's no question about it. You know, there's an ad today in the local newspaper here, the Rocky Mountain News, attacking Senator Ken Salazar, claiming that he flip-flops and that and it's paid for by Focus on the Family, that Judge Alito deserves an up or down vote. But isn't that kind of hypocritical, considering these same right-wing elements never gave Harriet Myers an up or down vote?
Yes, for starters.
I mean, they just marshaled her off. She never got a hearing, and now they're turning around and going, well, you know, we should give this guy an up or down vote.
And, you know, thank you all for giving us Senator Salazar, who is a man who comes to the Senate and tries to think for himself. You know, he's not a dependable anything. We're glad to have him in our party, but we're very pleased that at least this is a man who doesn't have an automatic view on issues. And let me tell you that one of the most troubling things about Alito is that you can predict his views. He has an automatic hard right view. That is not the kind of justice who ought to replace Sandra Day O'Connor.
Do you believe that Roe versus Wade is in jeopardy if he makes it?
I think Roe versus Wade is certainly in jeopardy because the one analysis that goes that even with another justice, you couldn't overturn Roe. And this is why I think it's in jeopardy is not so much that I expect it to be overturned. The precedent is rather longstanding. I think it is in jeopardy because the greatest danger to Roe now is not a complete reversal. It is the many ways that you can narrow Roe, and we're seeing those come before the court every single year. States smell blood, so they come before the court with new and more outrageous ways to curtail a woman's right to choose. After a while, there won't be enough left of it to be worth overturning. That's what he, I think, would at least do. Whether he will join the majority who wanted to overturn it in light of the precedent, I do not know. I do know this. When a man tells me that he does not believe there's a constitutional right to abortion, he's told me all I need to know on that question. He's disqualified himself on that question.
Bill Frist says, of course, he's also the one that diagnosed Cherry Schiavo via videotape. Bill Frist, Senator Frist says that if the Democrats try to filibuster Alito, they're going to pull the nuclear option.
Well, let's see if they dare, because if they pull that option, they are setting a precedent that many Republicans don't want to be a part of. The beauty and the ugliness of the filibuster is that it knows no party, and one senator can pull it off, and if he can get 60 votes, that's it. So that if you become the minority party, and if I was sitting where Republicans in the Senate are now, I would envision becoming the minority party in 2006, then you want to ask yourself, do you want to be a part of the majority that took away the filibuster on any issue? It's a threat. Let's see if he can get enough Republicans to go along with him.
Do you think he can?
I don't.
So, in other words, what he's doing is he's bluffing it out. And what Democrats ought to do, this is what I think they ought to do, they ought to stand strong against this guy Alito because he's not good for America.
Call his bluff. See
yeah.
if the Republicans want to be in the minority with the nuclear option pulled from under them. There's no such thing as a little bit of filibuster. The filibuster rule says you can filibuster. Many of us hate it when it's against us, but we've learned why it's there. It's there because it's there because the Senate is the last stop against majorities that infringe so heavily on the rights that there's no other way to stop them except go to court. So, and that's where the framers left it. And they left it that way. Look, nobody got rid of it when it was used for 100 years to to keep African Americans from getting their rights through civil rights legislation, we'll be darned if you're going to take it away now when you tolerated it in the face of the abject denial of our basic rights to equal protection of the laws. Where were you then?
Yeah, good points. All right, last question for you. Do you think that Alito will make it? Yes or no?
I think we have a good chance of stopping him. The reason you don't know, you don't see that yet is because this Congress is so messed up. The Republicans are coming apart at the seams.
Yeah, they are.
That they can't, they are now focusing, and the press has focused, on just the basics. Tax cuts for the rich, or I should say more tax cuts for the rich, which have to go to conference. Cuts for the poor in order to pay for tax cuts for the rich. They still have appropriations, including, above all, the defense appropriation that they can't get out. When that kind of business is up here and the press sees that they can't even do what it takes, and we're told, by the way, we could be here until Christmas Eve.
Oh, wow.
You can imagine that people aren't focusing on something that's going to happen in January because we can't get done something that should have been over in October.
Well, if the Republicans continue like Tom DeLay and Duke Cunningham, they won't have to run in 06. They'll all be out anyway.
Well, can you imagine that DeLay is running behind in his own district? You know.
Yeah.
You know, what did Abraham Lincoln say? You can't fool the American people all the time.
Yeah, Rick Santorum in the Senate is running behind Bob Casey, and the election hasn't even taken place in Pennsylvania.
And he's been running behind throughout this campaign. Look, we're set to do what we have to do. I'm sorry it had to get that bad before it happened, but that's how closely divided the country was, and a lot of folks have woken up, and we really thank the independents who have used their independence to completely vacate this president on war and on everything else.
Boy, I wish we had more time, because I'd like to ask you why it always seems that the Democrats don't stand up, that we get smeared with this idea that we're unpatriotic, that we're not for defense, that we get smeared with all this stuff, and nobody stands up and says, wait a minute, you know what, I'm going to call your bluff on that, and you prove it to me.
Yeah, you prove it to me. For example, 60% of the Democrats in the House voted against going to war in Iraq in the first place. But because there was a slight majority in the Senate, and because many of them were high-profile people, we got smeared with that. People also should remember that this is the party of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And
yes,
that's the party that brings everybody under a big tent. So don't expect us to walk in lockstep like the Republicans.
Well, that's a great point. Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton, thank you so much for being on here. And I don't mind sucking up to you. People in your district are extremely lucky.
Thank you very much for those compliments, and I was pleased to talk to you today.
It was nice to talk to you. Thank you, Congresswoman.
Bye-bye.
All right, there's Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton. Gosh, she was great, wasn't she? You know, see, I want a more aggressive Democratic Party. I don't know if I'm alone on this, but I want a more aggressive Democratic Party. Let's stand up and point our fingers at Republicans and say that, you know what, these slimy talking points that you keep putting out every single time about us, that we're unpatriotic, that we don't back the military, that we don't back the troops, you know, that we don't have this country's best interest at heart. You know what, take that and roll it up and smoke it. On the other side of this timeout, we'll talk to Neil Welk from the Boulder Daily Camera about the firing of CU head coach Gary Barnett. That and a whole lot more coming up on The Best of Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Ew, it stinks in here.
Passing gas in the company of others is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
Ever have one of those days where you feel frustrated and alone? For developmentally disabled adults, every day can feel that way. The Graduate Activity Program, or GAP, needs your help. GAP provides disabled adults with help and resources to lead a fulfilling life and make a meaningful contribution to the community. GAP needs funding for vocational training and adaptive equipment, wheelchair accessible vans, and daily activities.
My email isn't working again.
The network is down again?
Hey, who unplugged the server?
Maybe your office is not the best location for critical IT infrastructure. Today's business relies on technology. At Riptide Hosting, their job is to keep your network up and running. Riptide provides dedicated servers and server co-location in a Class A data center for much less than you might think. Riptide Hosting is located in the DTC. Click on the banner in your player to compare pricing and get more info at RiptideHosting.com.
Holiday shopping without leaving your computer. It's the all-new MileHighMarket.com with thousands of products. Imagine an arcade-quality electronic air hockey table for the game room, delivered in time for the holidays. Or an elegant wood poker chip humidor for that Texas Hold'em fan on your list. Entertain family and friends this holiday season with a foosball table or electronic dartboard from MileHighMarket.com. And remember, there's always free shipping at MileHighMarket.com.
Everyone has a dream home, an ideal place where they can live life by their rules, especially when it comes to their TV.
In my dream home, my TV show would start when I was ready.
In my dream home, my movies would come to life.
Comcast has an offer that will make your dreams a reality. Call today and get digital cable, including on-demand and stars, just $49.99 per month for 3 months.
In my dream home, Dora the Explorer will come over anytime I want it.
On-demand is a library of thousands of free movies and shows you can start anytime, only from Comcast, not satellite. Comcast also offers you up to 14 high-definition channels, including local channels you can't get from satellite.
Improve your home.
Improve your life.
And dream big.
With Comcast.
Call 1-800-COMCAST for digital cable with on-demand and stars. Just $49.99 per month for 3 months. That's 1-800-COMCAST. Limited time offer, 3 months at $49.99 per month, applies to digital silver with stars. After promotional period, regular rates apply. Restricted supply not available in all areas.
Thinking about what to serve at your business lunch or holiday affair? You can put out a tray of cold cuts and cube cheese and no one will think any less of you. Or you can have your guests ask where all the delicious food came from. Invite Tin Star to your next party and add some sizzle, smoke, and salsa. Choose homemade chips, roasted salsa, grilled vegetable quesadilla, or a gourmet soft taco platter. Find out more about the Tin Star party platters and box lunches at tinstar.us or click on the banner in the player now. Tin Star. Sizzle, smoke, salsa.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
Search for the hottest bars, clubs, lounges, DJs, and concerts in Denver at maxnights.com.
Check out this week's spotlight.
Sports fans know the Sports Column and Lodo on Blake Street. 10 years of great food, drink specials, excellent service, rooftop patio, and 9 big screens. Fox Sports Net voted Sports Column the best sports bar in Denver. Sports Illustrated ranked them one of the top 20 sports bars in America. Check out $1 You Call It's from 9 to close on Thursday nights. Sports Column on Blake Street in Lodo.
Where do you want to go tonight?
MaxNights.com.
Freedom Harley-Davidson is your touring bike headquarters. Right now, purchase any 2006 Electra Glide Classic and receive a $500 gift card toward the purchase of any genuine Harley-Davidson installed parts and accessories. Plus, you'll get a 20% discount on all parts, accessories, and motor clothes for 90 days after your purchase. The best in price and service only from Denver's premier Harley-Davidson dealer. Freedom Harley-Davidson at 8020 West Colfax, just west of Wadsworth. Stop dreaming and start enjoying the ride. More info and offer restrictions at freedomh-d.com.
Getting a $3 million buyout or settlement? My question is, how does he get such a buyout? Let's go to Boulder Daily Camera sports columnist Neil Welk. And Neil, thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. Can you explain for us laymen, us people that are not hip and don't know what's going on here, how does one guy make that much money coaching a football team?
Well, that's the price that head football coaches around the nation are paid today. I mean, actually, Gary Barnett's $1.6 million salary per year is probably about sixth or seventh in the Big 12 conference today. It's like any other business. It's an entertainment business. And if you look at entertainers, you have to throw coaches and players and everybody else into that mix, and that's the going price today is seven-figure salaries.
How was he able to engineer a $3 million payout?
His contract is up at the his contract was good through July of 2007. The last athletic director at the University of Colorado, when he gave Gary Barnett that contract, there was a $2 million payout it was a carrot. If he stayed for 5 years at the University of Colorado, he got a $2 million bonus. Well, included in that contract was, if you get fired, you still get that $2 million bonus. And that's where the biggest part of that salary comes from there, is that $2 million carrot at the end of the stick.
Where does the lion's share of this money come from? Are we paying for it, the taxpayers?
No, actually, and that's a little bit of a misconception. The of the $36 to $37 million budget at the University of Colorado, of the athletic department budget, approximately $2 million of it comes from student fees, state funds, and things like that. The rest of the department money is generated by the athletic department and also being by part of the Big 12. So about $2 million every year of the entire athletic department budget is technically state funded money. However, even out of that $2 million, about $1 million of it is paid back to the university through tickets, a ticket revenue tax that they impose on every department. So about $1 million is actual state money.
Is the athletic department having a budget problem?
Yes, the athletic department is definitely having a budget problem. Over the last few years, everybody in the state knows that they've had some problems with the recruiting scandal, issues like that. Their ticket sales have been down, and there's definitely a budgetary, I don't want to say crisis, but a budgetary issue that they have to face up there. They've cut approximately 15 to 18% out of every other sports budget up there, including football, over the last few years, and that entails cross-country, skiing, all the other sports that are up there have had their departments cut.
8:38, 18 minutes in front of 9 o'clock here on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Boulder Daily Camera sports columnist Neil Walk with us. How did this guy survive all of these scandals? I mean, you know what it appears? It appears like, okay, he makes it through all of these scandals, right? He makes it through all of these allegations of all the stuff going on. Then the team starts to lose, so they go, whoa, wait a minute, get out, because you know what? The team sucks.
I think what you have to look at is if you look at the chain of events that have happened over the last year, it was a year ago almost right now that the athletic director resigned. Okay, the former athletic director. Then came the chancellor about a month later, and then a few months later, the president resigned. Well, in between that, they hired a new athletic director. The new athletic director came on campus. Very seldom you're going to get a new athletic director who's going to walk in and say, oh, okay, spring football is over. I'm going to fire the football coach, and we're going to start anew. He couldn't make any changes then. I think he started looking at the very beginning and saying, okay, how are we going to do this? What's going to happen here? He let the season play out, and obviously, the team wasn't going to be successful. He had a chance to see what the reaction of the public was to the program, to the department in general, and he made the right decision. I mean, he decided to start fresh and put everything into a new light. And I think if you look, the fact that they have a new athletic director and he's been on the job for 8 months, it couldn't have happened any sooner. But I think it happened for all the right reasons.
So the bottom line is he got blown out. Why? Because the team was losing?
Well, I think he got blown out because, A, because the team was losing, and, B, because the new athletic director looked at the situation. He was able to come in fresh and say, look, no matter what happens, the scandal is always going to be there. The controversy is always going to be surrounding the program as long as Gary Barnett is there. And, everybody else that had been associated with the scandal was gone. And there wasn't anybody else left to make that decision. And Mike Bone came in, and is a very honorable man, and said, you know what, we're going to make a change. And he went ahead and made the change. It became obviously much easier to make that decision with the way the team played down the stretch. I mean, that was that was the, I don't want to say the final nail, but that certainly was a big influence on his decision, was the way the team was playing, and now they can start fresh.
All right, what happens to Gary Barnett now? What's the next step? Does he take his $3 million and just kind of hang out? And by the way, do they pay him that in one lump sum, or do they pay it out?
It will probably be paid in one lump sum.
Oh, he gets one lump sum?
It will probably be paid in one lump sum. I had asked about that last night, and they were kind of hesitant to say exactly how it would happen, but I'm assuming it will be paid in one lump sum. That's usually the way settlements are reached in any business, whether if it's a CEO that leaves a company, any kind of business transaction, they'll pay it out in one lump sum. Gary will take that $3 million, and I would say within another year he will be coaching somewhere else.
So he'll get hired again despite all of the scandals losing record.
No doubt. Coaches have a way of resurfacing. He's proven the ability to win over the short term, over the long haul. He's never been able to do that, but over the short term he's come in and he's different places at Northwestern and at the University of Colorado. And there are programs out there, and, you know, the business of sports is they have very short memories, and people will take a chance on Gary Barnett. I guarantee you within a year from now we'll be talking about where Gary Barnett is coaching today.
Major school?
I think it could be. And when I say major school, you're talking about, maybe a lower tier school in a big conference, and that could be someplace like a Kansas State, someplace like an Oregon State, maybe someplace in the SEC that is looking to come up and make a move and move up. Someplace back in the Big Ten. I mean, Northwestern hired him once, so there's another school, somewhere else in the Big Ten that will be looking for a coach, looking to get an immediate boost. And Gary Barnett still has a name as a guy that can come in and rebuild a program quickly.
So he's not going to end up at What's the Matter You or someplace like that.
Well, that's a possibility, but I don't see that happening. Just, I don't know if you remember, there was a guy named Mike Price who was at the University of Alabama for all of 3 or 4 days, was fired after he ended up drunk in a hotel room with a whole bunch of strippers.
Well. You know, I've worked for some radio companies where, hell, they'd give him the general manager's job at the station for that.
Alabama fired Mike Price, and about a year later he was working at Texas El Paso, not a major conference school, but it's paying him $700,000 or $800,000 a year, and a guy can get by on that. I'm sure you don't, because I know what the big time radio personalities.
Yeah, right. Well, you know what I was going to say, which will get me in trouble for saying this, but he ends up in El Paso. Well, he doesn't have to get caught in a hotel room full of strippers. All he's got to do is drive across the border to Juarez.
Well, exactly. El Paso's not exact. Yeah, El Paso, I think they overlook a lot of things, having been there. So that's the business of college sports, and it's the business of just big time sports, and it's the business of big time entertainment.
Well, I don't get it. I've been saying it all morning. I don't understand what the attraction is. I don't understand how these guys make this kind of money. One last question for you. Who are they looking for to replace Barnett?
There are a wide variety of candidates out there, but I guarantee that the guy that they bring in will not have the hint of a skeleton in his closet.
Will he make the same kind of money?
No, he probably won't. He'll probably actually make less money, and there'll be more incentives there, and that was the problem with this contract. Most coaches' contracts are built on incentives. You get a small base salary. You get a bonus if you win a championship. You get a bonus if you have X number of people buying tickets. You get a bonus if you win, if you're ranked number 20, number 15, whatever in the nation. And I think the next contract will be much more along the lines of the traditional incentive-based contract rather than a $2 million if you just promise to stay here for 5 years.
That money is obscene. All right, Neil Welk from the Boulder Daily Camera. He's a sports columnist there. Neil, thanks, and have a happy Gary Barnett weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks very much.
See you later.
All right.
All right, I still don't get it how these guys make this much money. But you know what? Listen, and I'll bet you Gary Barnett's got to be a Republican, right? Because the Bush tax plan favors guys like Gary Barnett. Never mind about the rest of us. 8:45, 50 minutes away from 9 o'clock. It's open phones here on a Gary Barnett weekend. 303-713-7600. Sit back this weekend. Think about it. How would you like to get paid out $3 million? And the thing that Daniil said, lump sum, not paid out. Most places I've worked, I don't know about you, but particularly in the media, they pay you out slowly but surely, so you can't go to any other competing media, both print and broadcast, and break bad on your former employers. Coming up next,
aluminum cans are helping to build Habitat for Humanity homes all over the country. How about in your community? By recycling aluminum cans, you can put a roof over someone's head just as sure as if you picked up a hammer. Visit cansforhabitat.org to find out how recycling cans benefits Habitat. It's good for the environment and really good for families who need help in your local community. That's cansforhabitat.org.
Where are you going for New Year's?
Check out maxnights.com. You'll get the complete 411 on all the party listings to bring in 2006. Maxnights.com. Don't miss Jazz at Jack's 6th annual mock New Year's Eve celebration on the 30th with Dotsero and Sam Adams. Then bring in 2006 with EO Hippus. Enjoy champagne toast, tuxedo strawberries, all your party favors, door prizes, and giveaways, all with the great jazz sound of EO Hippus. Go to maxnights.com to get more info and tickets. How are you going to ring in 2006? Better go to maxnights.com.
Turn your computer into a radio. Listen live to AM 760 24 hours a day. Back to the best of Jay Marvin on AM 760.
Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Happy holidays from AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Victims of Hurricane Katrina have been outspoken lately about the lack of federal response to the hurricane. Have relief efforts been enough? Raj Goyal, a senior policy analyst for domestic policy at the Center for American Progress, is our next expert guest on this issue. Raj, listen to this story. New Orleans residents prod sluggish Congress with a $10,000 full-page ad. Residents of the Lakeview section of New Orleans sent a message to Congress in yesterday's edition of Roll Call, a newspaper read widely on Capitol Hill. The message from a homeless New Orleans reads, since the breakdown of the New Orleans flood protection system on August 29, 2005, we have lived like refugees in our own country. The residents of Lakewood and countless others displaced in New Orleans communities are sending you this holiday wish in one voice. We want to go home. Well, you know, the Bush administration, George W. Bush, flies down there, holds this big thing with the floodlights and everything else, promises to rebuild New Orleans. Raj, what happened to all those promises?
Well, Jay, thanks for having me, first of all. And, everything you said was golden. Those promises were, like many other promises of this administration, completely empty. I actually visited the area for a conference last month. It's just devastating on a human level. And the thought that this Congress and this administration does not take Katrina rebuilding seriously because it's a political liability is one of the most galling things of the many galling things we've seen from this administration, and history would judge him very negatively for it.
So basically, this is another one of Bush's empty promises where he says he's going to do something, but the funding never comes.
Well, absolutely. I mean, remember the context. We have, we've actually done a kind of nifty policy analysis of this, of putting it in different phases of the disaster. And remember, there was complete denial where Bush flew over the disaster area and just tipped his wings to the area and then didn't think it would be a big deal. And then he had Anderson Cooper at the Superdome and the media scolding him and the public scolding him to do something. So then he goes down there five times, Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job, all that stuff. And then as soon as it became a political issue that boil had somewhat been lanced, he didn't really follow through. And so what you did have were two supplemental bills or spending bills that were passed that gave the first immediate chunk of relief, but there's no comprehensive vision. The Bush claim on the Gulf Opportunity Zone,
all right,
and the Homesteading Act, these sorts of things, there's been no push for that. And then what was really tragic, Jay, is that what you have is the conservative ideology really just rearing its ugly head, because after we had passed two tax cuts, reckless tax cuts, and gone to two wars, who cared about the deficit? But all of a sudden, you have all of these poor folks who, through no fault of their own, are refugees in our own country, and suddenly we care about the deficit and cost containment. And at the very same time that we need upwards of $100 billion to reconstruct the Gulf, we're cutting $50 billion in Medicare subsidies and the social safety net. So this is really, I like to point out, an indictment of modern conservatism. They let the government fail with the infrastructure. They let those people die unnecessarily. They let these people actually struggle, and now they don't care enough to actually rebuild their lives.
8:09, 9 minutes after 8 at AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Raj Goyal with us from the Center for American Progress. We're talking about Hurricane Katrina. You know, I saw an interview with Ray Nagin a couple of months ago where he asked this question, which I think really ought to be asked. We have this money going to Iraq, and we're going to try to rebuild Iraq, yet there's no money for the Katrina situation, and there's no money for New Orleans, and New Orleans is, I mean, it's a part of American heritage.
You know, what's I think even more amazing is that in the Iraqi election for tomorrow or, you know, late tonight here, there are Iraqi expatriates voting in the United States for an election 10,000 miles away. And yet we don't have enough resources or political will to get an election together in New Orleans over where they can vote on the most important issues of rebuilding that coast. And generally speaking, you're exactly right, and the mayor is right, is that we export all this money for these, you know, as I said, reckless foreign policy goals, particularly in Iraq, and yet we don't have enough money to do what to do right by our own citizens. And the president got a lot of, I think, praise for his Jackson Square speech and for at least acknowledging the race and poverty dynamics to this debate, but there's been no follow-through, and as I said, history will judge him accordingly.
Yeah, there's an unidentified aide to the White House who says that this has basically fallen off the radar, that it's basically fallen so far off the radar screen you can't find it.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw a little blurb in Time magazine that said something along those lines, and it's true. Anytime they mention Katrina, that's a reminder of how badly this administration has bungled the most serious natural disaster to ever hit our shores. And that, in stark contrast to their praiseworthy performance in many ways after 9/11, in the immediate aftermath of 9/11, that is. So, you know, this administration has proven that politics trumps substance. And the real tragic thing here is that so many lives have been ruined, lives were lost. People are just struggling to get by, and the human misery and the human toll of this will be feeling for decades.
Yeah, Merry Christmas from the White House, right?
That's right, and you know, and I encourage all your listeners, if they can, you know, to research more about what's going on in New Orleans, because it's amazing. It's such a blank slate. So much of the city is just dead that you know, in many ways, everybody can help with the rebuilding by either donating or at least giving ideas or volunteering in some way.
What about this controversy about the trailer placement? Are you familiar with this, that they're arguing over where to place these trailers?
Well, actually, yeah, the trailer issue is always one, and I learned a lot about this down at this conference. You know, there's actually a great practice and science of disaster management. It's something that this administration doesn't know anything about, and what James Lee Witt, who was the Clinton FEMA director, was brilliant at. You know, and as they said, if there was a Hall of Fame for FEMA directors, he would certainly be the first one inducted, because trailers are very important, and there's been a great dispute over where those should go, and it just goes to show that how bungled this response has been from FEMA's perspective, because international experts have said that FEMA is weeks behind the curve. This trailer issue should have been decided weeks ago. They should have already had everything ready and ginned up. But because you had all these cronies and hacks running FEMA, we're in this kind of debate right now, which should have happened and been resolved weeks ago.
What's going to happen to the people that are staying in other states who are in these motels, who've got this limit where they have to get out? What are they going to do?
Well, I think it's unbelievable that FEMA keeps jerking them around. One day it's a deadline of December 15th, and then it's a temporary thing where they'll pay until January and then February. And it's just everything that conservatives love to hate about government they're doing now with an agency they've run into the ground. And so I don't, you know, the tragic answer to this question is I don't know what will happen to a lot of these folks. You know, for those people who can rebuild their lives outside of Louisiana, I think we would all wish that they could come back to their homes, and I think they would probably wish it. But if they were able to rebuild their lives in another state and get on with it, I think we would applaud their right to do so. But certainly the government has been just asleep at the switch. The stories of, you know, calling FEMA day after day and just getting a busy tone and not being able to see your house. I mean, I met one resident down there. She had to pay her mortgage for 3 months for a house she had not laid eyes on since August 29th, the day of the storm.
Now, Senator Mary Landrieu, who is from Louisiana, she's a Democrat, she says that she's going to keep the Senate in session through the holiday recess unless funding is approved for flood protection, and is backing a D.C. rally tomorrow to bring attention to the issue. Think she'll be able to do that? Think she'll be able to keep him in session until Christmas, past Christmas Eve?
Well, I don't think that'll be easy, but I do think that it's right to draw attention to this important issue. And it's not just Democrats like Senator Landrieu; it's also Republicans, Thad Cochran from Mississippi, and others in the House who have done really an admirable job to say, "Hey, look, you all need to pay attention to this. These are Americans. This is a vital part of our country, our heritage," as you said. And, you know, it's just not American to let these folks just flounder on their own. I mean, if this is George Bush's ownership society, I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, boy, I would agree about that. You know, this encompasses Katrina, but it also encompasses a lot of other things. Because Bush is going to give a speech today about Iraq. I mean, is there anything about this administration that's real? Or is it all one big, just, you know, they're constantly on the campaign stump and they stay in that mode thanks to Karl Rove. And they tell us all these things, like, Bush goes down there for that Jackson Square photo op. He makes that big speech. Then, you know, it turns around, well, there's no money for that. He's always constantly making these promises. He's always making these statements about one program or another, one situation or another. And yet he never delivers. I mean, is there anything about this administration that's true and real?
Well, it's hard to, to feel like that at times because, as you say, on core issue after core issue, it is just a package of spin. And, on Iraq, it seems like finally, after several years, they're coming down to some level of reality, but it's still not anyone that the boots on the ground recognize. So I think it is the credibility of this administration is at stake, and that's why you see it reflected in the approval ratings. I don't think people trust this president anymore. They don't trust his policy overseas. They don't trust his policies domestically. And that's why I think next year in the elections, it's going to be very interesting to see how the Republican Party runs vis-a-vis their president.
All right, Raj, thank you so much. Appreciate you being here. And, you know, I see the situation is going on for some time to come. I don't think he's going to pony up the money unless he's absolutely forced.
No, I think that's right. And thanks for having me, Andre.
All right, Raj, thanks very much. Appreciate it. There's Raj Goyal, senior
power tools.
Randy Rhodes.
These are interesting times in which to live inside the United States. Really fascinating. We've become everything we despise. We have limited freedom. We have people listening to our private phone calls. We have people reading our private email. 80,000 people on the terror watch list now.
80,000!
Now, anybody can be eavesdropped upon, and you'll never know.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
Search for the hottest bars, clubs, lounges, DJs, and concerts in Denver at maxnights.com.
Check out this week's spotlight.
Sports fans know the Sports Column in Lodo on Blake Street. 10 years of great food, drink specials, excellent service, rooftop patio, and 9 big screens. Fox Sports Net voted Sports Column the best sports bar in Denver. Sports Illustrated ranked them one of the top 20 sports bars in America. Check out $1 You Call It's from 9 to close on Thursday nights. Sports Column on Blake Street in Lodo.
Where do you want to go tonight?
Maxnights.com.
Hey, do you consider yourself a great poker player? Want to test your skills against the likes of Rob Blake, Dan Hino, John Michael Lyles, and Brad May? Then join Amber Holmes for the second annual Full House Celebrity Poker Tournament on Saturday, January 7th at 6 p.m. Amber Holmes specializes in affordable townhomes, paired homes, and single-family homes, and they're proud to help local Denver charities through this annual Celebrity Poker Tournament. For more information or to register as a player, log on to amberholmes.com. Amber Holmes, a higher standard.
My email isn't working again.
The network is down again?
Hey, who unplugged the server?
Maybe your office is not the best location for critical IT infrastructure. Today's business relies on technology. At Riptide Hosting, their job is to keep your network up and running. Riptide provides dedicated servers and server co-location in a Class A data center for much less than you might think. Riptide Hosting is located in the DTC. Click on the banner in your player to compare pricing and get more info at riptidehosting.com.
Thinking about what to serve at your business lunch or holiday affair? You can put out a tray of cold cuts and cube cheese and no one will think any less of you. Or you can have your guests ask where all the delicious food came from. Invite Tin Star to your next party and add some sizzle, smoke, and salsa. Choose homemade chips, roasted salsa, grilled vegetable quesadilla, or a gourmet soft taco platter. Find out more about the Tin Star party platters and box lunches at tinstar.us or click on the banner in the player now. Tin Star. Sizzle, smoke, salsa. If you love your coffee and want to take it with you when you travel, you need to learn about Road Warrior brand Laptop Coffee. Laptop Coffee is travel-friendly coffee, sealed in personal tins. Plus, it's superior gourmet compared to the coffee most hotels leave for you in the room. Each tin contains 2 4-cup filter packs for 2 personal pots of rich, full-bodied, 100% Arabica coffee. You'll never have to endure lousy in-room hotel coffee again. For a free sample, click the ad on your screen or log on to laptopcoffee.com and order the free sample pack.
Holiday shopping without leaving your computer. It's the all-new MileHighMarket.com with thousands of products. Imagine an arcade-quality electronic air hockey table for the game room, delivered in time for the holidays. Or an elegant wood poker chip humidor for that Texas Hold'em fan on your list. Entertain family and friends this holiday season with a foosball table or electronic dartboard from MileHighMarket.com. And remember, there's always free shipping at MileHighMarket.com.
Freedom Harley-Davidson is your touring bike headquarters. Right now, purchase any 2006 Electra Glide Classic and receive a $500 gift card toward the purchase of any genuine Harley-Davidson installed parts and accessories. Plus, you'll get a 20% discount on all parts, accessories, and motor clothes for 90 days after your purchase. The best in price and service only from Denver's premier Harley-Davidson dealer. Freedom Harley-Davidson at 8020 West Colfax, just west of Wadsworth. Stop dreaming and start enjoying the ride. More info and offer restrictions at freedomhd.com.
Programs in the region. And Mark, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jay. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Did the president hit a home run? Did he hit a base hit? Did he strike out?
The president put on a PR show this morning when he had the opportunity to roll out some clear steps and make accountable what we're doing in Iraq. Increasingly, what we're doing in Iraq seems to be President Bush's personal war, and it's not in the national interest. He could have addressed what the Senate overwhelmingly endorsed, both Republicans and Democrats, 2 weeks ago when they called on the Bush administration to provide a schedule for meeting U.S. objectives in Iraq. This morning, the president rejected that and only offered up more slogans that were seeing victory, resounding success, when the facts are showing otherwise, and it's the boys and girls in the military today who are bearing the brunt of that.
I've asked everybody who's been on here this morning, and I'll ask you, since you know, you have experience in Washington, you were, you know, worked in the White House. Do you think this guy's living in a bubble? Do you think that he is absolutely and completely insulated from the reality of what's going on the outside world?
I don't, and I think that's one of the reasons why you put on the speech today. I think that the speech this morning was a PR effort to get America back, so to speak, on his side when it comes to Iraq. Six out of ten Americans now say that they disapprove with the way the president is handling the war. Unfortunately, the facts on the ground are indisputable, and the president can't talk his way around that. The fact is that the Iraqi people are not buying into what we're doing in Iraq. The president did say that the U.S. did not get it in terms of how to initially train Iraqi troops, and that the U.S. military is continuing to adjust strategy. The question is this really in our national interest going forward?
I think John Warner brought this up, who he introduced at Annapolis this morning, that Bush should get out and that he should have an intimate fireside-type chat conversation with the American people. And why doesn't he do that? But instead, and we've discussed it on this show a lot, he shows up at every military installation to deliver his speech. Why doesn't he just, like, have something from the Oval Office or the Rose Garden or some kind of intimate setting where he tries to explain what he's trying to do?
Because I don't really think they have a plan. And I think that when you don't have a plan, you offer slogans and PR, and in certain ways you demagogue the issue. And I just don't think that this administration is able to roll out a strategy that's credible. Yes, you're absolutely right. He should have had a fireside chat type speech to lay out his plan, first offering an honest assessment of what's happening on the ground in Iraq. That's the first way, I think, to support our troops abroad. And that's laying out the facts on the ground here at home. and then second, produce a strategy and then a request for the resources to tactically implement that strategy. That's the way to generate national unity behind what we're doing in Iraq. By refusing to establish any standards for accountability, it only looks increasingly like this is a personal war and something not in the national interest. He had an opportunity to change the tenor of that, and he didn't take advantage of it today.
Well, if you read that Seymour Hersh article in The New Yorker, I mean, he, and Seymour Hersh said this last night on the Chris Matthews show, that Bush believes that God plays a part in this. I mean, that's kind of scary.
It is kind of scary, and Bush's invocation of religion, and I say this as a religious person, Bush's invocation of religion only harms our interests overseas because it buys into precisely what Al-Qaeda wants to do.
Ed Schultz, weekday afternoons 1 to 4.
What I'm talking to you about is not a liberal or conservative issue.
Holiday shopping without leaving your computer. It's the all-new MileHighMarket.com with thousands of products. Imagine an arcade-quality electronic air hockey table for the game room, delivered in time for the holidays. Or an elegant wood poker chip humidor for that Texas Hold'em fan on your list. Entertain family and friends this holiday season with a foosball table or electronic dartboard from MileHighMarket.com. And remember, there's always free shipping at MileHighMarket.com.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
Thinking about what to serve at your business lunch or holiday affair? You can put out a tray of cold cuts and cube cheese and no one will think any less of you. Or you can have your guests ask where all the delicious food came from. Invite Tin Star to your next party and add some sizzle, smoke, and salsa. Choose homemade chips, roasted salsa, grilled vegetable quesadilla, or a gourmet soft taco platter. Find out more about the Tin Star party platters and box lunches at tinstar.us or click on the banner in the player now. Tin Star. Sizzle, smoke, salsa.
My email isn't working again.
The network is down again?
Hey, who unplugged the server?
Maybe your office is not the best location for critical IT infrastructure. Today's business relies on technology. At Riptide Hosting, their job is to keep your network up and running. Riptide provides dedicated servers and server co-location in a Class A data center for much less than you might think. Riptide Hosting is located in the DTC. Click on the banner in your player to compare pricing and get more info at riptidehosting.com.
Everyone has a dream home, an ideal place where they can live life by their rules, especially when it comes to their TV.
In my dream home, my TV show would start when I was ready.
In my dream home, my movies would come to life.
Comcast has an offer that will make your dreams a reality. Call today and get digital cable, including on-demand and stars, just $49.99 per month for 3 months.
In my dream home, Dora the Explorer will come over anytime I want it.
On-demand is a library of thousands of free movies and shows you can start anytime, only from Comcast, not satellite. Comcast also offers you up to 14 high-definition channels, including local channels you can't get from satellite.
Improve your home.
Improve your life.
And dream big.
With Comcast.
Call 1-800-COMCAST for digital cable with on-demand and stars. Just $49.99 per month for 3 months. That's 1-800-COMCAST. Limited time offer, 3 months at $49.99 per month. Applies to digital silver with stars. After promotional period, regular rates apply. Restricted supply not available in all areas.
Freedom Harley-Davidson is your touring bike headquarters. Right now, purchase any 2006 Electra Glide Classic and receive a $500 gift card toward the purchase of any genuine Harley-Davidson installed parts and accessories. Plus, you'll get a 20% discount on all parts, accessories, and motor clothes for 90 days after your purchase. The best in price and service only from Denver's premier Harley-Davidson dealer. Freedom Harley-Davidson at 8020 West Colfax, just west of Wadsworth. Stop dreaming and start enjoying the ride. More info and offer restrictions at freedomh-d.com.
Search for the hottest bars, clubs, lounges, DJs, and concerts in Denver at maxnights.com.
Check out this week's spotlight.
Sports fans know the Sports Column and Lodo on Blake Street. 10 years of great food, drink specials, excellent service, rooftop patio, and 9 big screens. Fox Sports Net voted Sports Column the best sports bar in Denver. Sports Illustrated ranked them one of the top 20 sports bars in America. Check out $1 You Call It's from 9 to close on Thursday nights. Sports Column on Blake Street in Lodo.
Where do you want to go tonight?
Maxnights.com.
Is AM 760 Progressive Talk.
KKZN 410 Denver Boulder.
the post-Christmas shopping rush. This New Yorker has a battle plan.
Ornaments first. They have really nice ornaments that you can get really discounted, you know, and they have great sales inside the store.
But these bargain hunters in La Crosse, Wisconsin say anything is fair game.
Pretty much anything and everything. I just get my stuff ahead of time for next year. Clothes and big sales. I'm willing to fight to get what I want.
It's not only the bargains bringing them out in droves today. This is the biggest gift return day of the year. Be armed and ready, says Vera Gibbons of Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
The easiest way to make a hassle-free return is to have that receipt. Without it, the best you can hope for is credit at the lowest markdown price at which the item's been sold over the past 30 days.
Today, all is peace and tranquility along the lip of the Indian Ocean. A far cry from the horror of a year ago. As a natural disaster unlike any in recent memory devastated the region, a towering tsunami swept ashore, killing more than 200,000 people and shattering the lives of millions more. There were commemorative ceremonies today, and as CBS News correspondent Barry Peterson found in Thailand, a spirit of renewal and caring.
Scott Carter left South Carolina a year ago to come help.
You've now given a year of your life to this.
From a selfish standpoint, I will always be a better person for having done this.
On this day, they're delivering another new boat. It will stay in this protected inlet until the engine is at it and it's ready for the open sea.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. President Bush calls this first anniversary of the tsunami a time to remember the days of sorrow. In a written statement, he says the U.S. is committed to helping to rebuild the battered economies of the hard-hit countries. Government and private relief experts say that process will continue for many years. They point to reconstruction progress in some areas.
Within the past hour, President Bush left Washington for his ranch in Crawford, Texas, where he will spend the rest of the holidays. The week is beginning on a bloody note in Iraq, where at least 10 people have been killed in the latest round of insurgent attacks. Reporter Pete Gao has details.
A motorcycle packed with explosives was left in a marketplace in a Shia-dominated neighborhood called Al-Shula, and then detonated, believed as a funeral procession passed by. And it follows a series of explosions this morning. Around daybreak, 5 car bombs went off in and around the Baghdad area.
It's been a primetime fixture for decades.
Are you ready for football? A Monday night invasion!
Monday Night Football, which launched in 1970, airs its swan song on ABC tonight when the New York Jets play the New England Patriots. Monday Night Football became a cultural phenomenon, the place to be for fans and non-fans alike. Next season, it moves to ESPN. This is an official holiday on Wall Street, so the markets are closed today. This is CBS News.
With my back pain, it hurt just to think about swinging a golf club.
Back pain can ruin your golf game. That's why you need Capsaicin Cream, the brand pharmacists recommend most, because its relief starts strong and gets stronger each time you use it. Relief so effective,
it's like the pain was never there. It's unbelievable.
You've got to feel it for yourself. Capsaicin Cream. Relief beyond belief.
Now that's a shot.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. Give someone special to you the gift that will be remembered for years to come. Name a star after them. The Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list for $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. It's the perfect gift for birthdays, weddings, and just about any occasion. Give the ultimate gift. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. We proudly support the Star Light, Star Bright.
The men of the kids in your community, be a coach, a mentor, a volunteer, because you have something to offer. Log on to
AM760, the year 2005.
Who was Deep Throat?
Pope John Paul II died.
What was the noble cause that my son died for?
No evidence of bird flu in the United States.
Thank you, Mrs. Parks.
Hurricane Katrina moving through.
Dead bodies everywhere.
There is no food away.
We know America deserves better.
Now, we turn another page.
And I don't want to miss a page.
To 2006, AM 760, Lesson Talk. The best of Jay Marv on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
One more hour of the best of me, if there is such a thing, Jay Marvin, here on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk, and hope your holidays are going well. Quick reminder that tomorrow and Wednesday, a familiar voice will be here, Aaron Hart. She fills in for me. And then on Thursday and Friday, we have a special guest, Carl Jeffers. Then I'll be back in 2006. Our next guest is Pulitzer Prize winner and the author of several books, the wonderful Haynes Johnson. J. Marvin in for Jerry Springer. This is Springer on the radio. Haynes Johnson is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and a best-selling author and a television commentator. He has reported on virtually every major national and international news event of the past four decades, including the activities of every president from Dwight Eisenhower to Bill Clinton. And until recently, he was associated with the Washington Post. In 1966, Johnson won the Pulitzer Prize for distinguished national reporting of the civil rights struggle in Selma, Alabama. Let's welcome to Springer on the radio, Haynes Johnson. Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
Or should I call you Haynes, whichever you choose?
Please, Haynes. It's Haynes. That's what everybody calls me.
Okay. You know, this is a, and I don't mean to suck up or pander, but this is going to be a difficult.
Oh, go ahead.
This is going to be a difficult interview because this has got to be one of the best books I've ever read, The Age of Anxiety, McCarthyism to Terrorism. Now, for most people who know Joe McCarthy, simply from the movie Good Night and Good Luck, talk a little bit about who Joe McCarthy was.
Joe McCarthy was the greatest demagogue. I say great in the term in which it means. It means important, significant, major demagogue in American history. We've had lots of people who have exploited fear in our lives over the whole American experience. But Joe McCarthy was a senator from Wisconsin who was fading after one term in the Senate, and he stumbled upon the anti-communist issue, and he used it to create fear and to exploit it to gain political purposes. And he reigned for five straight years in a kind of a reign of terror such as the United States has not experienced ever. And the point about Joe McCarthy, this is half a century ago in the early 1950s, and from the Truman administration all the way through the Eisenhower administration, the first term. The thing about Joe McCarthy, what's startling to me even looking back on it, is that McCarthyism never ended. Joe McCarthy's been dead half a century, but the tactics he used to exploit fear for cynical political purposes, smear, fear, defamation, leaked information, manipulating the press, all of those things are exactly a direct line from then until the very moment we're speaking right now.
You know, much of the right wing, you can still see the tactics of McCarthyism still going on with the whole thing about bleeding heart liberals and, you know, un-American and you know, attacking people not on legitimate issues, but just trying to smear them personally. You're right. McCarthyism has never really died, has it?
No, and that's exactly. I'm glad you said that because those same phrases, attacks on the liberal press, that the press is all part of a liberal conspiracy. It's left wing. You can't rely on it. They're un-American. People who dare to criticize the Republican Party or the right wing are enemies within. They are subversives. They don't have good, quote, values. They aren't moral, quote, people. They are un-American. All of these same phrases have appeared again and again and again for decade after decade. They're now enshrined, sad to say, in our politics, of the politics of fear, misrepresentation, and politics of destruction. And that's what they have learned how to use this, and it works. Sad to say, even more so, the Democratic Party has been cowed until very recently and not standing up, and the press has been exploited and used and co-opted, and people believe that if there are problems in the country, it's because of these liberals out there. They're not good Americans, and they will do the country in. And that's what McCarthy did during communism. We're hearing the same thing right now during the age of terrorism, even as we speak.
22 minutes after the hour, the book is The Age of Anxiety, McCarthyism to Terrorism. Haynes Johnson is on the line. You know, you talk about how this is still going on. The thing, though, that I found to be shocking that I didn't know until I read your book was there were prominent Democrats in the age of McCarthy, just like there's kind of prominent Democrats today, who basically did nothing to stop this guy.
Well, the tragedy of McCarthy, that's the great lesson, is that there were people who are honorable, decent, thoughtful, good, patriotic Americans, and they were so afraid of McCarthy that they wouldn't take him on, even though they knew what a rogue and how dangerous he was to the country. And it wasn't just Democrats. Eisenhower hated McCarthy, and he was urged over and over again to take him on later during his administration, and he wouldn't do that because he wouldn't get down the gutter, as he said, with that guy. So it was honorable people high up in the administrations of Eisenhower, and the Democratic Party in particular, would never take on Joe McCarthy. And they allowed him to flourish and therefore gain more power and more danger to the American political system.
You know, Lyndon Johnson said, well, now's not the time politically to deal with him. And Lyndon Johnson was a very, very strong guy at that time.
He was the strongest and the most effective congressional leader in American history. I came to Washington when Johnson was just about to become the Senate Majority Leader. He knew how to make things work. He was a genius at putting together coalitions and all that. But he wouldn't take on McCarthy because, as he said, when people said to him, Lyndon, you've got to take on Joe McCarthy. He's destroying America. He's a bad person. And Lyndon would say, yeah, I know. He's no good. He's the serious wretch up here. He'd use expletives I don't want to use on the air right now. that, as you can imagine, what Lyndon Johnson would say. But he said, all I would do if we put the Democratic Party against him right now, he would gain in strength, and that's not true. At least you should have fought the fight, and he didn't do that.
Now, let's move forward to now. You know, you've been around a long time, and I mean that as a compliment. And your father was also a journalist, too, I believe.
Yes, he won a Pulitzer Prize. We're still the only father and son who have done so.
Right. How do you see the Bush administration now in 2005?
I want to be very careful about what I say because I am so disturbed and so angry at the repeated, again and again, examples of disinformation, of arrogance, of power. I thought the Nixon administration was the worst. I was the assistant managing editor of the Washington Post during the Watergate period, and the enemy's list and all those things, and secrecy, and wiretaps, and all these things. I thought that we would learn those lessons about what it meant to abuse power, the imperial presidency. I swear now this is worse than the Nixon period, because they're using this war to defame critics. Nixon did the same thing, but these people have been more effective at it, the Bush administration. So I think he's going to go down as one of the worst presidents in our history. And I regret that. I think it's a tragedy because he had, at one point after 9/11, he had a sense of unity in the country that we could all pull together and fight serious questions that exist about terrorism. They're real threats, absolutely. But you don't do it by destroying civil liberties and democracy in the name of an imperial president. And that's what we're seeing as we speak right now.
Yet the Democrats seem unable to stop him.
Well, they haven't until very recently. They've been sort of cowed by the successes, and they allowed themselves to be... Look at what poor John Kerry... I say poor John Kerry. I make no brief for him. I thought he ran a woeful presidential campaign in 2004. He wouldn't even stand up, and these smears against him, his record in the war and the medals, and bleeding and on the PT, on the boats, of the Swift boats, and he wouldn't even take them on. That defined him and defamed him, and it lost him the election. So the lesson of Democrats is to stand up. The lesson of anybody, not just Democrats, forget the Democrats, of Americans and the press particularly also, to stand up and challenge authority, question it. That's patriotic. That's real patriotism, to find out what's going wrong. Shine bright lights in dark places. Hold power accountable. That's what we're supposed to be in this country. It has nothing to do with Democrats or Republicans or liberals or conservatives. That's a true American value, and I'm afraid that we have not seen much of that lately.
Boy, you know, I really want to ask you, and I don't know if you're reluctant to say anything about this or not. All right, you know what? Haynes, I do this with very few authors. Can you hang on, and can we go into another segment?
Sure.
All right. Haynes Johnson, the book is Age of Anxiety. If you're out there Christmas shopping, you got to pick, or holiday shopping, I should say, you got to pick this book up, whether it's Christmas, Hanukkah, or Kwanzaa. And you know what? Even if you don't want to buy it for somebody else, buy this book for yourself. Get this book for yourself. It's a must-read. You want to learn where the right wing's coming from in this country? You want to learn their lineage and heritage? This is the place to go. No wonder Ann Coulter wrote a phony book trying to, what's the word I'm looking for? Trying to make over Joe McCarthy's image, trying to resuscitate him. Yeah, BS, Ann, okay? Resuscitate this. All right, we'll talk to Haynes Johnson a little bit more, and I'm going to get his comments about the press today. J. Marvin in for Jerry Springer. This is...
Search for the hottest bars, clubs, lounges, DJs, and concerts in Denver at maxnights.com.
Check out this week's spotlight.
Sports fans know the Sports Column in Lodo on Blake Street. 10 years of great food, drink specials, excellent service, rooftop patio, and 9 big screens. Fox Sports Net voted Sports Column the best sports bar in Denver. Sports Illustrated ranked them one of the top 20 sports bars in America. Check out $1 You Call It's from 9 to close on Thursday nights. Sports Column on Blake Street in Lodo.
Where do you want to go tonight?
Maxnights.com.
My email isn't working again.
The network is down again?
Hey, who unplugged the server?
Maybe your office is not the best location for critical IT infrastructure. Today's business relies on technology. At Riptide Hosting, their job is to keep your network up and running. Riptide provides dedicated servers and server co-location in a Class A data center for much less than you might think. Riptide Hosting is located in the DTC. Click on the banner in your player to compare pricing and get more info at riptidehosting.com.
Freedom Harley-Davidson is your touring bike headquarters. Right now, purchase any 2006 Electra Glide Classic and receive a $500 gift card toward the purchase of any genuine Harley-Davidson installed parts and accessories. Plus, you'll get a 20% discount on all parts, accessories, and motor clothes for 90 days after your purchase. The best in price and service only from Denver's premier Harley-Davidson dealer. Freedom Harley-Davidson at 8020 West Colfax, just west of Wadsworth. Stop dreaming and start enjoying the ride. More info and offer restrictions at freedomh-d.com.
Everyone has a dream home, an ideal place where they can live life by their rules, especially when it comes to their TV.
In my dream home, my TV show would start when I was ready.
In my dream home, my movies would come to life.
Comcast has an offer that will make your dreams a reality. Call today and get digital cable, including on-demand and stars, just $49.99 per month for 3 months.
In my dream home, Dora the Explorer will come over anytime I want it.
On-demand is a library of thousands of free movies and shows you can start anytime, only from Comcast, not satellite. Comcast also offers you up to 14 high-definition channels, including local channels you can't get from satellite.
Improve your home.
Improve your life.
And dream big.
With Comcast.
Call 1-800-COMCAST for digital cable with on-demand and stars. Just $49.99 per month for 3 months. That's 1-800-COMCAST. Limited time offer, 3 months at $49.99 per month. Applies to digital silver with stars. After promotional period, regular rates apply. Restricted supply not available in all areas.
Thinking about what to serve at your business lunch or holiday affair? You can put out a tray of cold cuts and cube cheese and no one will think any less of you. Or you can have your guests ask where all the delicious food came from. Invite Tin Star to your next party and add some sizzle, smoke, and salsa. Choose homemade chips, roasted salsa, grilled vegetable quesadilla, or a gourmet soft taco platter. Find out more about the Tin Star party platters and box lunches at tinstar.us or click on the banner in the player now. Tin Star. Sizzle, smoke, salsa.
Holiday shopping without leaving your computer. It's the all-new MileHighMarket.com with thousands of products. Imagine an arcade-quality electronic air hockey table for the game room, delivered in time for the holidays. Or an elegant wood poker chip humidor for that Texas Hold'em fan on your list. Entertain family and friends this holiday season with a foosball table or electronic dartboard from MileHighMarket.com. And remember, there's always free shipping at MileHighMarket.com.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
And you're talking about the press being used and manipulated. You know, it used to be that if the New York Times, if there was something in the New York Times, you took it that that was the truth, that, you know, everybody called the New York Times the gray lady. What do you make of Judith Miller in that whole situation?
Well, I'm not one of those who defends Judith Miller. I thought she was disgraceful, frankly, and I think that she allowed herself to be used in the weapons of mass destruction, as Maureen Dowd, her colleague in the Times, attacked her in public in a column, an amazing column, said stenography is not investigative reporting. In other words, allowing yourself to just take what the administration says and present it out there as the fact. It turned out to have been wrong. And that was the premise for the war. So I think that Judy did not do an admirable job at all, and I never felt comfortable about her claims that she was protecting some sort of great secrecy and a journalistic principle in going to jail, because it turns out that Scooter Libby was her source. And he's the guy that was manipulating and sending stuff out, and he's now been indicted. I don't think that's protecting a confidential source. I think that's allowing yourself to be used. And I think that's a tragedy, and it's a black mark for the press.
What about Bob Novak?
Bob, I have a different feeling. I mean, he allowed him, I'm extremely critical of Bob in the sense that he allowed himself to use, he outed a CIA agent. He was asked not to by the CIA. This is Valerie Plame we're talking about.
Right.
He willingly, name that person. That's an outrage. I mean, that's just something you don't do. And now he's gotten away with all this business. I was fascinated, as you saw just recently, Obama gave a speech and I think in North Carolina, and said that the president knows who my source was. Ask the president. I am confident, he said, that the president knows. Well, isn't that interesting? Wouldn't we like to know? Don't you think we should know if that's the case? What is he talking about? But he's being very coy, and so we still don't know. So I think both of these cases hurt the credibility of the press, and it allowed the idea to flourish that the press allows itself, permits itself, to be used by power. And in the guise of a story. That's not what our job is supposed to be. Our job is to hold public officials accountable, to raise questions about the policies that lead America off track or even to war, to raise serious questions and then let the public decide and the legislators decide what actions to take on it. I'm afraid that that's not been the case.
All right, let's switch to the Washington Post, which you worked for.
Yes, many, many, many years, yes.
Bob Woodward.
I think that I was an editor. I was assistant managing editor of the paper during the Watergate period. I worked with Woodward very closely. There's been no example in journalistic history that was more admirable than Bob and Carl's, Carl Bernstein's Watergate reporting. It was meticulous, careful, and detailed. I do not admire, and I have been critical of Bob for protecting, claiming that he also protected a source. It turns out to have been, as we now know, for 2 years he's had a source that told him, even before Novak, about who Valerie Plame was, and let himself be used that way and kept it secret. I don't think that's the job. That's the job that Woodward would have done at Watergate, and I'm sorry that that happened.
Yet how does he keep his job?
Well, I think it's different from Judy. It's up to the paper to decide. Woodward has been an enormous asset to the paper, enormous asset to American journalism. I am critical of this episode, however, and it's up to them to decide. He'll keep his job. I don't think he didn't violate the law or anything, but he's been a source of great controversy within the newsroom, as you know, and not as intense as Judy Miller, but it has been a very, very critical period, and we'll see what happens now from here on out.
37 past the hour, The Age of Anxiety, McCarthyism to Terrorism is the book. Haynes Johnson is on the line with us. Okay, I got to run one more name by you. What about Vivica Novak?
I don't know much about that case. She apparently has lost her job at Time Magazine, but it's the same kind of episode. In this case, it's Libby's lawyer. She's having several sessions after work with him and knows about information at the same time that they're writing stories about the Valerie Plame leak case. She never even tells her editors about it. That's, by the way, that was Woodward's greatest mistake. He should have at least informed his basic editors, the executive editor, Leonard Downey. He never did that, and I was shocked at that, frankly. And I think it's even in the case of Novak, the other Vivica Novak of Time Magazine, she didn't tell anybody about this. She had the information and kept it secret, even when they're writing these stories that could have, we, the public, were deprived of that knowledge, and that's not what you're supposed to do in journalism. Apparently, she may have lost her job over that. She was on leave, and I thought I saw, and maybe I'm inaccurate about this, so if so, I apologize, that I thought she's not coming back to Time, but it was another black mark for the press.
Let's go back to your book here a second about the McCarthy error. Most people remembered Edward R. Murrow as saying something to McCarthy, but he alone did not stop the McCarthy's march to power, right?
No, he did not. And in fact, I think the movie is a great movie, the George Clooney movie. I saw it with Clooney. He previewed it about 2 months ago, and I was interviewed by Jeff Greenfield with Clooney on the stage afterwards. And I think it's a great movie. Everybody ought to see it. But I said to Clooney, I said, you've created a myth, the idea that only Murrow's broadcast brought down Joe McCarthy. That's not true. It came 4 years after McCarthy had risen to power. It came at a time when he was self-destructing. The Army McCarthy hearings were just 3 weeks away, and there was finally a willingness on the part of Steele, or courage or whatever on the part of Republicans and Democrats to take on McCarthy. And finally, the hearings themselves, Joseph Welch, the lawyer from Boston, asking McCarthy, have you, sir, no sense of decency at long last? That's what brought down Joe McCarthy. I do think it's a great movie, and I hope that everybody sees it because it'll remind us how bad this guy was. And it's also a reminder what the press should be doing. Challenging authority. I keep coming back to that point. Murrow did it brilliantly and eloquently, even if it was late, but it did not bring down Joe McCarthy.
Did Murrow pay for this, doing it? Did he pay for this?
He did, and in fact, I don't want to be misunderstood. Murrow was a hero of mine. I admired him enormously. He was terrific and all that, and he paid a price. He was, in effect, driven out of CBS, the CBS News. He no longer had the place and the special role that he had in American television, American broadcast news, setting standards that no one had done before him. So I think that's part of the tragedy, too.
So it did ultimately cost him his job. I mean, in the movie, he's relegated, what, to doing weekends, and then eventually they drove him out?
Yeah, well, doing celebrity people interviews, which was, I always thought that was an embarrassment for Murrow. And he did tangle with the CBS brass. He wasn't fired, but he was clearly eased out. I knew Murrow a little bit when he came to Washington to work for the Kennedy administration, and he was sort of a sad figure, I thought, at that time. He was heading the USIA, the Voice of America, and the Information Agency, overseeing that. But he was a sad person, and of course, he famously is smoking cigarettes and died of lung cancer. So I feel there's a sadness about Murrow.
You know, the other shocking thing about your book, I don't want to use the term shocking, that's too easy, but surprising, was that Greta Van Susteren of Fox's News, her father was best friends with Joe McCarthy?
He was not only best friends, he was McCarthy's very best friend. He was a campaign manager for Joe McCarthy, they were boyhood friends, remained friends throughout his entire life, and he was a great defender of McCarthy's. They grew up together in Appleton, Wisconsin, and Urban Van Susteren was his name. He became a judge in Wisconsin. And he was the campaign manager for Joe McCarthy in his first race for the Senate, and stayed in as one of McCarthy's not only his closest friend, but closest advisors until he died.
Unbelievable. All right, I've never asked an author for this on the air. If I get in touch with you, can I have an autographed copy of this book?
Believe me, you've already you praised me in a way that's what authors like to be taken seriously. If you want an autographed copy, you got it. Let me know.
All right, I will, and hopefully where they're running this show, they'll put you on hold and get me some kind of email address or a mailing address. Haynes, thank you so much. Thanks. Has really been great.
I appreciate everything you said. You were very kind to me, and I much enjoyed being with you.
All right. There's Haynes Johnson, The Age of Anxiety, McCarthyism and Terrorism is a book. Jay Marvin in for Jerry Springer. Springer on the radio. Boy, I'll tell you something. I really appreciate Mr. Johnson's time, and pick up his book, The Age of Anxiety. What a great guy. Coming up, Power Tools.
When I do it, everything goes dark, and I feel like a different person.
Kenzie Olsen is under the influence of her community theater volunteer, helping out at an after-school theater program. She helps Kenzie stay off drugs. Be a coach, a mentor, a volunteer. No matter what it is, you have something to offer. Log on to helpyourcommunity.org or call 877-KIDS-313 and be an influence on the kids in your community. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. How would you like to meet an endangered manatee? You can by joining Save the Manatee Club's Adopt the Manatee program. You can't take them home, but you can get to know your new manatee friend through the photo, biography, and information the club sends to you. And you can read updates on your manatee in the club newsletter. More importantly, your contribution goes to programs that are working to save manatees from extinction. It's easy to help. Call 1-800-432-JOIN.
Turn your computer into a radio. Listen live to AM 760 24 hours a day. On AM. Back to the best of Jay Marvin. On AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Let's welcome to the program one of my favorite people, and this is my favorite segment every week, and that's Paul Waldman with Media Matters for America. Paul, are you there?
I am, Jay.
Okay, here we go. I mean, you and Jameson Fosier, man, I just love having you on every week. All right, you and I have talked about this before. My ongoing kind of thing with Chris Matthews, in that sometimes I like him, sometimes I think he's an incredible don't know what the term is for this. Particularly, Chris
Ooh.
Matthews. Particularly the last time when he said that, well, you know, most people like George W. Bush except, you know, those left-wing wackos, in which I sent him an email complaining about that. But let's get into this one. And I saw this, too, and was kind of shocked by it. Matthews did not challenge Senator Kit Bond's Iraq intelligence misinformation.
Yeah, well, this is something that Matthews is a very interesting case. You know, he once worked for Tip O'Neill when he was the Speaker of the House, Democratic Speaker of the House. And there are still people on the right who believe that Matthews is a Democrat and he's kinder to Democrats than he is to Republicans. But at Media Matters for America, we've documented case after case after case where he doesn't ask the tough questions of Republicans, where he praises President Bush to the heavens. You know, this is just one more case talking about what was known and what was reported in the Rob Silverman report on the U.S. intelligence community's pre-war intelligence. And Republicans are often say that, you know, the Rob Silverman report and the Senate Intelligence Committee exonerated the president, that they said that he didn't manipulate any intelligence. And in fact, those two commissions were both prohibited from even investigating how the intelligence was used by the Bush administration. So this is another case where Senator Kit Bond came on, made this claim that the Bush administration had been exonerated by these committees, and Matthews just let it pass. Now, as it happens, yesterday, he was talking about President Bush, and let me just read you this quote to show you how much of a liberal Chris Matthews is. He said, "It's probably the greatest gamble since Roosevelt backed Britain before World War II." He's talking about the Iraq War. "The president deserves credit if this gamble comes through, and it's not clear yet. If his gamble that he can create a democracy in the middle of the Arab world, and he does it, he belongs on Mount Rushmore." So, that's the kind of, you know, Matthews is someone who is just, he looks at President Bush the way, you know, teenage girl looks at some heartthrob singer. I mean, the kind of effusive praise that you get on Harbaugh day after day after day really belies any notion that he has some kind of a liberal bias.
Yeah, he continues to say, you know, "I believe that the president," I'm just paraphrasing him, "that the president spoke with incredible clarity." And I just scratch my head and say, what is he talking about?
Well, you know, this is an example that you see a lot of what President Bush likes to call the soft bigotry of low expectations. That for instance, President Bush can come out and say that he takes responsibility for the decision to invade Iraq, and he will be praised in the press for you know, changing course, for being more accommodating, for taking responsibility in ways that he hadn't before. But of course, President Bush takes responsibility for the decision to invade Iraq. Whose responsibility was it? The guy who cleans out the toilets? I mean, he's the president. He made the decision. You know, that's not some kind of a concession for him to say, "I take responsibility for the decision to invade." He's not really taking responsibility for anything that's gone wrong, though.
10 minutes after the hour, Paul Waldman, Media Matters for America, here on the Springer on the radio. You know, the other thing, too, about this little incident with Kit Bond, Senator Nelson from Florida was standing right there. Why did he say anything? I mean, he just let this whole thing go and never gave an answer, just kind of sat there and grinned.
Well, you know, it's hard to say, and sometimes when you're on a television show, you know, maybe Senator Nelson just wanted to be polite, and by the time he got around to talking, the discussion had moved on. But, you know, that's one of the things that happens is when you have people who are giving a unified line, it gets repeated over and over, and often it doesn't get challenged often enough. And I think that's one of the things that's happening with this this case of the administration being engaged in this spying, which many people believe was illegal, you know, they've got their talking points, and they're going to repeat them over and over. And what we're finding as we look over the media landscape is that sometimes the reports about this are challenging those talking points, and sometimes they're just letting them go by. I mean, for instance, one of the things that President Bush is saying is that he had to go around the law and sign this executive order allowing for these secret wiretaps because doing it the way that it's normally done under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act was too cumbersome. And under the law, you have to get a warrant from the special FISA court, and that just took too long. And so we couldn't do that because it was just going to be too cumbersome. Well, in fact, The law under FISA states that you can go ahead and do your surveillance, and then after the fact, go within 3 days to go and get the warrant, and they almost never turn down a request for a warrant. You know, there's that old saying that a grand jury will indict a ham sandwich. Well, the FISA court will provide a warrant to investigate a ham sandwich. They've provided, I think, in the course of their history, over 18,000 warrants, and they've turned down the requests four times within 18,000 requests. And since you can even go back and get the warrant after you've already done the surveillance, the idea that it just wasn't fast enough is just not true. But, you know, one of the things that happens is when the White House adopts a talking point, they say it over and over and over again, and even if it's just plainly false, you know, the reporters believe that they have to relate to people what the White House is saying. And so you get this repetition over and over and over again, and it reminds me of something that Larry Speaks, who was Ronald Reagan's press secretary, once said, that if you tell the same story five times, it's true. And unfortunately, that happens all too often.
All right, here's one I also witnessed. And you know what, and you're right about that, and they do that. They do repeat the same talking lines over and over, and everybody gets on the same page who is affiliated with them or who is in the right wing. But here's another one that I saw happen. Tim Russert, who I'm not sure where he's coming from, but he allowed Rice to deflect eavesdropping questions. And this was on Meet the Press last Sunday.
Right. Now, she came on. It was really kind of an incredible interview. She came on and talked to hear her talk about this spying case, you would think that, you know, she had no idea what was going on, that she wasn't, in fact, the National Security Advisor when the decision was taken, and now the Secretary of State. She kept saying, well, I'm no lawyer. But the fact is, I mean, I think Americans really need to understand exactly what the Bush White House did on this, because what their rationale is that the president can basically overrule any law he wants if he decides that it has something to do with his powers as commander-in-chief. It's really an extraordinary claim that they're making. They are essentially arguing that George W. Bush is a king. And since he decided that the FISA law, which is the law of the land, was inconvenient for him, then he doesn't have to abide by it. And so this is not something that you have to be an authority on constitutional law to understand is probably wrong. Secretary Rice went on Meet the Press, and Tim Russert asked her some tough questions, but the questions about whether or not President Bush had any legal basis for this this eavesdropping, she made these claims about how, well, you know, he has the authority, it's in the Constitution, and they just kind of got passed on. We really have to understand just how extraordinarily broad the claim they are making about President Bush's powers. They are saying that he's above the law. I mean, that's what it comes down to, that if he thinks the law is not convenient for him, then he doesn't have to abide by it, and the fact that he's commander-in-chief is justification enough. And there's something else we should clarify, too, about FISA. There were domestic wiretaps before President Bush signed this executive order and after. Nothing changed. You know, he's now saying that even the fact that we're discussing this is helping our enemies. Well, they knew that before there were wiretaps. The only difference was before you had to go to this special FISA court and get that warrant, which sometimes could only have to take a couple of minutes. But you had to get a warrant. There had to be some kind of oversight, even if it was just from a secret court. But what President Bush said was that, no, we don't want any oversight whatsoever. We're going to continue to do the same kind of wiretapping that was done before, but we're going to do it without any sort of oversight, even from this what was basically a rubber-stamp secret court. And that's what I think is so dramatic and so dangerous about this, the idea that they can actually come out and claim that the president is above the law.
And Russert kind of let her get away with that when she kept saying, well, you know, Tim, I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, and you know, it doesn't take a lawyer to understand that the president's not above the law. Russert just basically let Secretary Rice get away with saying that over and over. But that's one of the things that's problematic when you're an interviewer, is if the person you're interviewing is going to give sort of a robotic recitation of talking points, then there's not much you can do.
All right, Paul, give a plug for your website, because I think it's the most fabulous thing going, and you can sign up for daily emails on these things that we're bringing up. So where do people go?
People can go to mediamatters.org, and there you can see everything that's going on today and our archives of a few thousand items that we've done on the American media in the last year and a half, which is how long we've been in existence.
All right, and a note of disclosure here, I am a contributing member to this organization. Paul, thank you. I really appreciate you being here.
It's my pleasure, Jay.
All right, happy holidays.
You too.
Okay, we'll see you. There's Paul Waldman for Media Matters for America. And check them out at mediamatters.org. Next up, we have another media critic and really one of the best.
holiday shopping without leaving your computer. It's the all-new MileHighMarket.com with thousands of products. Imagine an arcade-quality electronic air hockey table for the game room, delivered in time for the holidays. Or an elegant wood poker chip humidor for that Texas Hold'em fan on your list. Entertain family and friends this holiday season with a foosball table or electronic dartboard from MileHighMarket.com. And remember, there's always free shipping at MileHighMarket.com.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Getting your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-pressure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
Search for the hottest bars, clubs, lounges, DJs, and concerts in Denver at maxnights.com.
Check out this week's spotlight.
Sports fans know the Sports Column in Lodo on Blake Street. 10 years of great food, drink specials, excellent service, rooftop patio, and 9 big screens. Fox Sports Net voted Sports Column the best sports bar in Denver. Sports Illustrated ranked them one of the top 20 sports bars in America. Check out $1 U College from 9 to close on Thursday nights. Sports Column on Blake Street in Lodo.
Where do you want to go tonight?
Maxnights.com.
My email isn't working again.
The network is down again?
Hey, who unplugged the server?
Maybe your office is not the best location for critical IT infrastructure. Today's business relies on technology. At Riptide Hosting, their job is to keep your network up and running. Riptide provides dedicated servers and server co-location in a Class A data center for much less than you might think. Riptide Hosting is located in the DTC. Click on the banner in your player to compare pricing and get more info at riptidehosting.com.
Hey, do you consider yourself a great poker player? Want to test your skills against the likes of Rob Blake, Dan Hino, John Michael Wiles, and Brad May? Then join Amber Holmes for the second annual Full House Celebrity Poker Tournament on Saturday, January 7th at 6 p.m. Amber Holmes specializes in affordable townhomes, paired homes, and single-family homes, and they're proud to help local Denver charities through this annual Celebrity Poker Tournament. For more information or to register as a player, log on to amberholmes.com. Amber Holmes, a higher standard.
If you love your coffee and want to take it with you when you travel, you need to learn about Road Warrior brand Laptop Coffee. Laptop Coffee is travel-friendly coffee, sealed in personal tins. Plus, it's superior gourmet compared to the coffee most hotels leave for you in the room. Each tin contains 2 4-cup filter packs for 2 personal pots of rich, full-bodied, 100% Arabica coffee. You'll never have to endure lousy in-room hotel coffee again. For a free sample, click the ad on your screen or log on to laptopcoffee.com and order the free sample pack.
Everyone has a dream home, an ideal place where they can live life by their rules, especially when it comes to their TV.
In my dream home, my TV show would start when I was ready.
In my dream home, my movies would come to life.
Comcast has an offer that will make your dreams a reality. Call today and get digital cable, including on-demand and Stars, just $49.99 per month for 3 months.
In my dream home, Dora the Explorer will come over anytime I want it.
On-demand is a library of thousands of free movies and shows you can start anytime, only from Comcast, not satellite. Comcast also offers you up to 14 high-definition channels, including local channels you can't get from satellite.
Improve your home.
Improve your life.
And dream big.
With Comcast.
Call 1-800-COMCAST for digital cable with on-demand and Stars. Just $49.99 per month for 3 months. That's 1-800-COMCAST. Limited time offer, 3 months at $49.99 per month. Applies to digital silver with Stars. After promotional period, regular rates apply. Restricted supply not available in all areas.
You put your keys between your knuckles. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. You lock the door behind you, maybe twice. Now you feel safe. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not eating right, if you're not active, or if you smoke, you're putting yourself at risk for disease. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Where are you going for New Year's?
Check out maxnights.com.
You'll get the complete 411 on all the party listings to bring in 2006.
Maxnights.com.
Suite 1930 at the Sports Column. 2006 seconds of free drinks
from 8
till 8:33.
Party favors galore. Tons of great prizes. $100 travel voucher. Abs and Nuggets tickets. And the classic balloon drop and champagne toast.
Go to MaxNights.com to get more info.
How are you going to ring in 2006? Better go to MaxNights.com.
AM 760. The real story. 24-7 on AM 760.
Jay Marvin, 6 to 10.
Al Franken, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Ed Schultz, 1 to 4.
Randy Rhoads, 48, the best.
Because then again, everything right is on the left.
Oh, I listen to Jay a lot. I love Ed.
Al's great.
Randy Rhoads.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it.
Back to the best of Jay Marvin on AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Let's talk to Eric Alterman. Eric Alterman is with Nation Magazine. He also blogs for MSNBC. He's got a great book out called When Presidents Lie, A History of Official Deception and Its Consequences. Eric, good morning and welcome.
Thank you.
All right, let's get into this another 9/11, never mind. You talk about how the Bush administration acts incomprehensibly weird about 9/11. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I don't say that they act incomprehensibly weird about 9/11. They were incompetent with regard to 9/11 and missed all the signals and paid no attention to terrorism beforehand. And maybe it could have been prevented, maybe not, but we'll never know. But I actually understand. There were a bunch of ideologues. They wanted to focus on Star Wars. They didn't care about terrorism very much. They didn't have any political reason to. What I find odd is how little they seem to care about protecting us from another 9/11. That they're actually, I mean, it's hard to believe, but they're actually sabotaging congressional efforts to fund programs that would do some obvious things, like helping to protect chemical and nuclear plants near populated areas. You know, roughly 14 million people are vulnerable to attack in the New York metropolitan area, but nothing is being done. The companies are not being forced to take any extra precautions. Almost anybody could go in there and do whatever they wanted to. There are any number of examples like this. And when the 9/11 Commission issued its compliance report card a couple weeks ago, they got F's in all the important categories.
Well, you know, you talk here in your column about the way they went about to, the way the money was spent, and that it was misspent for things like, in Columbus, Ohio, they were free to spend Homeland Security funds on bulletproof vests for fire department dogs. And in New Jersey, they spent the money on air-conditioned garbage trucks. I mean, how does that happen?
Well, it happens because there's dysfunction and irresponsibility at all levels, and there's no oversight. The Department of Homeland Security is a joke. Nobody takes it seriously. And so they spend the money on whatever they want to because there's no coordinated plan anywhere. I mean, New York is just as vulnerable today as it was on September 10th, 2003, to the kind of attack because there's absolutely no coordination between the feds and the city and the state, and none of the obvious things have been done. The only thing that we would be protected from today, really, is the exact same group of guys doing the exact same thing. I mean, airports are more secure, but that's it.
You also talk about the media's reaction into this and their basically failure to report on the administration basically, you know, and the GOP-controlled Congress basically doing nothing about this with the no oversight.
Yeah, I find it very odd that the media didn't pay, particularly the New York Times, didn't pay more attention to this report because this was a city that was attacked. And the New York Times, you know, it got taken to the cleaners. Its reporter, Judy Miller, was one of the ones who purveyed all this nonsense about WMDs. And here we have a scandal, I think, of significant proportions that the administration is not doing the most fundamental things to protect the United States from another attack. And they didn't seem to think it was news. I don't get it at all. I can't explain it.
9 minutes after the hour, Eric Alterman from Nation Magazine, and also a great book, When Presidents Lie, A History of Official Deception and Its Consequences. You know, you point out something else in this column, which I find to be interesting. I don't know if you know the answer, and I don't think if anybody else knows the answer. You talk about the 9/11 Commission, and you talk about their 560-page report, but you say that it skirts questions that might reveal too much. Like, for example, and I've always wondered about this, what about Dick Cheney being able to okay the shoot down of civilian jets if necessary? What is he doing making that call, and why wasn't Bush making that call?
You know, we never have learned the truth about what Bush did that day. And we've been given many, many answers. I wrote a book called The Book on Bush, which tries to go through all of the inconsistencies in the various stories that they've told about exactly what Bush said and did that day when he was flying around the country. I wouldn't be surprised personally if he had some sort of a breakdown that they've been covering up. I don't have any evidence for that, but that's because they won't give us any discussion. They won't give us any details about what actually happened. So it's very curious, and the commission, which did a lot of good work, didn't have the guts to go into this particular issue.
Did anybody raise it with them, do you know of?
No, I don't know. Everyone seems to think it's too politically sensitive, the idea that our commander-in-chief was out to lunch that day in some way, you know, or perhaps emotionally or mentally incapacitated. And again, I have no idea what really happened. I know, you know, I know what happened at that school where he continued to read the book, even though he was understood to be a target for a possible assassination attempt. And he said he didn't want to upset the children, as if protecting the country from a terrorist attack is less important than upsetting a bunch of school children. I probably think the school children would be pretty upset anyway once they found out what was going on. But, no, the whole thing is very curious, and there seems to be a kind of conspiracy of silence about it.
Well, yeah, that brings me up to the next question, which is, you're the only person that I know of in this column in Nation that I know of. Maybe it's been raised by others, but certainly in the media it's never been raised. No one's ever asked what Bush did that day. Why is that?
You know, I found all these details on a website that I can't even remember the name of, where they did an incredibly detailed breakdown of that day and all the unanswered questions about it. And I think a lot of people in the media are worried about looking like conspiracy nuts, because there are a bunch of conspiracy nuts out there saying that this was planned by the government and that they knew and that they...
Oh, yeah, I've gotten calls about that.
Yeah, no. In fact, I heard Janine Garofalo say this on Air America one night when I was co-hosting, and I had to leave the room because I thought it was so silly. She didn't say it had happened, but she and the caller entertained the idea that it was possible. I don't think that's possible. I think that is irresponsible to say. Which is why I left that night. But obviously, this administration has an almost unprecedented combination of ideological fixation, dishonesty, and incompetence. And almost anything is possible within those confines. I don't think they're treasonous. I don't think they're mass murderers. I don't think they would deliberately kill Americans for their own vanity or so forth. But the degree of incompetence and the lack of simply caring, I mean, if you read the story in the New York Times yesterday about how those three women soldiers were killed, in part because of we just didn't bother to protect them. We didn't give them the right kind of body armor. We just didn't care. It's not we. When I say we, it's this administration. Donald Rumsfeld said you go to the war with the army that you have, but they didn't have to go to war. And if they were going to go to war, they could have gone to war a lot more carefully than they did. But they just didn't care.
You know, you also bring up here in your column, too, which is that everything appears to be run, particularly this whole homeland security issue and the whole idea of protecting us against another attack. And, of course, Dick Cheney yesterday said that, you know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, that this NSA thing is okay and that, you know, that we need the Patriot Act and blah, blah, and goes on and on. And you say in here that it appears that everything by this administration is being run like a political campaign.
Well, I'm just quoting a former administration member, John DiIulio, who said before 9/11 that there was absolutely no policy arm of this administration, that absolutely everything is a pure political decision. And if you look at Grover Norquist's comments in that column, he explains, he gives really the only explanation for why they do nothing about Homeland Security, because it's not an issue the Democrats can win, period. People just trust the Republicans more on national security, which is why Bush, you know, did as well in the election as he did. I suppose he probably won it, although I'm not 100% sure that he did. And it was entirely because he had an 18% advantage over Kerry in security matters. Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, he's more incompetent in security matters than in almost anything else. And yet the Democrats just can't make this case. And if they could, you know, then we'd have a